Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Hey, there's even a bridge! This is great! You can put six bags of soda in here. Milk, yogurt, you can put candy bars in the freezer.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no, it's got to be your bull.
Paul Perillo.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, two at a time.
That guy in a little coat. That guy in a little coat.
And Andy. And Andy?
You know where the weight room is?
Andy Hart.
Were you watching Spank Revision? Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Eric Scalavino.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm going to make you tell us, the best bunch of freaks ever born. Maybe we weren't the smartest guys.
Huh? Maybe we spent a little too much time puking off balconies.
But we had fun, huh?
Yeah! All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's a big day here at PFW in Progress. We have our new headphones.
Yeah, and they sound funny.
Courtesy of
I'm
Doc.
Getting like, well, I don't know. I feel like I'm in a bubble.
You mean you like, can actually hear yourself in them now?
You feel like you're in a bubble?
Yeah, there's like echo or something there.
Well, you know what?
I'm a big fan.
Turn down the volume of those other headphones that are hanging. You might be getting a little feedback there.
A little reverb?
Yeah. Yeah. So, is that better? No?
I don't know.
Anyway, that's really stretched out. I'm looking at these these headphones.
Well, it's funny because Paul kind of looks funny too. They don't look as good as the other ones.
On Andy's head.
We're
oh
not cool
God.
Like you. You have yours down behind your ears.
You look like you have a helmet on.
For those of you that I don't know if you ever see the Celtics or you see like during the Celtics game, Sean Grandy, the radio voice, play-by-play guy. That's how he wears his headphones. Fred's a pro.
So. Cool guys who aren't going to mess up their hair.
Which I always laugh at because Sean Grandy has about as much hair as I do. So what are you messing?
And he's about as cool as you are.
Oh, well, please.
Sometimes it's just more comfortable to
I blow them out of the water.
Not like this, because they're shaped specifically, they're elongated to go
elongated
vertical. You have them going the wrong way, so they're not fitting your ears properly.
All right. Anyway.
Was that a new open?
Yeah, I think so.
Well done.
What movie was that?
Are you freaking kidding me?
Tacoma recommended Tommy Boy.
Your twin brother made the movie. I think you have a little Chris Farley in you, and it's a very funny movie. It was just on recently.
You
I saw it maybe
a
last
compliment.
Week.
He was very
I know
funny.
From experience, dude.
And you have that, you know, intentional, unintentional. He's just funny. Not sure whether he tried to be funny.
And I used to live by a van down by the river.
In a van.
What do you want to do with your life?
You do have a bit of a weight problem.
I thought I was going to float
doesn't
away.
Doesn't watch correctly.
You may be dead by 40.
All right. Where's Eric?
Talking to Gerard Mayo.
Oh, really?
On the new turf here at Gillette Stadium as part of the beginning to the off-season program.
You know, so he is here today?
He is.
I just went out.
Okay, I'm getting used to this. They sound better the more I get. Maybe the other one sucked.
I was told by our vice president of stadium operations that I should go out and feel the grass because it's much softer than it used to be. So I actually just came from there, and I didn't notice any difference. But it looks nice.
But did you know what the other grass felt like?
Yeah, sure I did.
Because I've walked on it, but I never reached down and gave you know felt
oh,
it
I
up.
Have.
It looks a lot better, I'll say
oh,
that.
It looks great.
Well, it's got the stiffy. I mean, it's
got a monofilament spine.
Yeah, and a stiffy.
You know, what they had before was sort of like the first generation of this, and we got a great
like,
deal
oh,
on it because we were the
that part was good. We got a great deal on it.
We were the first NFL team to have that version of it.
And last.
But now this is many, many generations of technology later, so it's a much better version of what we had before. It'll last longer, you know.
It does look good. It's a more realistic green, I think.
Yep.
And it's sticking up more, fluffier, kind of
grass blowing in the breeze. Well, if you recall, when we first put down the original one, it looked pretty good, too.
Right. I'm hoping this, though, with the DuraSpine technology, will maintain its fluffy look.
See, I never thought the one that replaced, that this replaced, ever looked as good as this. I think this looks
The other one benefited because it was going from a cow pasture that was matted, you know, ugly, to all of a sudden a nice pure green.
Yeah, and that was a major, major upgrade of the natural grass surface here. But did you see some of the stuff about these studies they're doing now that ACL injuries are up on field turf and whatnot? And the people that make field turf are really upset about some of the studies, predictably. But what it didn't say in there is, you know, the majority of places have field turf now. And I don't know if they're taking into consideration that the, you know, the overwhelming abundance of games that are taking place on field turf as opposed to natural grass. Or if they're just saying, well, there was 15 ACLs and 12 of them happened on field turf.
Right.
Right.
Right. So anyway, it looks nice. The lines aren't down yet, but and they're still kind of smoothing it out and putting down the dirt, the sand and the rubber and all that.
Because the first lines will be for soccer.
Right.
And lacrosse.
And lacrosse.
Lacrosse.
Is soccer and lacrosse the same field?
No.
No.
No. It's much different.
Soccer. What kind of a question was that?
I think they're both a big box. I didn't know.
No, but soccer, they have like the goal with the crease.
No, I know that,
that
but I mean the general, the overall.
You mean the actual rectangle?
Yeah.
Is it the same
they both
dimension?
Play on grass, yes.
Well, then how are they going to play here? There's no grass here.
No, the soccer field's longer than a football field. It's 120 yards, not 100.
Ladies and gentlemen, so that was 7 minutes into the show before Fred stopped listening to Paul and Andy. He asked about lacrosse and soccer, not football.
I know how soccer and football compare because everybody in the world has seen goalposts that double as soccer goals, and they're right under in the line. On the back line of football in the end zone is the goal line of soccer. Everybody's seen that.
Right.
Not everybody's seen a lacrosse field. And if they have, I don't think they know how it compares.
Chris with the TIAN was nice enough to buy us lunch today. Thank
Busy
you, Chris.
Week for him, monitoring groundwater in the Boston area.
Well, for people who aren't from the Northeast, we just got pounded starting early Saturday morning until
pounded late, by 10 inches.
Late last night, the
Six
wind, it was like a mini hurricane. It really was.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It was.
That's what she said.
And so Christian works for a company that monitors groundwater levels.
Is I
that
think what it's it, the city. I'm not sure
if it's
the company.
The city?
Monitors the groundwater levels in
anyway,
the piles under the buildings.
That's been a big problem over the weekend. So,
but I think he told us in the past, his problem doesn't come when there's too much water. It comes when there's not enough. If the piles dry out, they rot. If they're wet, they won't rot. Because these are under all the, half the city is built on piles and whatever.
Yeah, this was an unbelievable rain, though. I mean, you see some of the stuff on the news with these
ridiculous.
Poor people's homes are just being ruined. And some up on Plum Island, they had cutting decks off of houses. They're removing the decks off of the houses to try to save the house.
Like a breakaway.
Yeah, it's just it's a mess.
It's state of emergency.
You had to climb around in your attic?
Yeah, I had a little leak, but nothing like these poor people are going through at all.
Yeah. Paul was on all fours with a flashlight in his mouth. Looking for that leak. I'm serious, right?
That is serious. Yeah. That's
tried to make finding a leak sound dirt like
crawling around on his stomach with a flashlight in his mouth.
Is it finished up there? Is it exposed? I mean,
No,
he's just on the
it's about
on
a
the beams.
Three-foot thing that he was crawling around in.
Yeah, it's really.
Why are you giving me hand gestures?
Why have you been in Paul's attic?
I don't know if he's trying to like you said, make something dirty out of this. Right. It's a very small crawl space, and it's not finished. I put a bunch of old doors. When I changed all the doors in my house, I put all the doors up the attic to try to simulate a floor.
That's kind of what I was asking.
That's a very small area.
Balancing
and all
on
that
the ceiling
joists,
I pictured you going through.
Oh, no, I had a balance on the beams. You know, I had to crawl all the way to the
front.
I just
see his leg dangling in the kitchen.
Just see
but
him, like,
I can't. Funny what happened. No, don't worry about it.
I
can't
see
walk.
Like Olga Corbett on those.
Oh,
beams.
Absolutely. But yeah. But you literally, I was crawling on all fours. And if
luckily he doesn't fit through the opening, so
and even if you got up on
this is what I was looking for. Yeah.
Well, then why didn't you go there? You started with
he's got a flashlight in his mouth. Did he get stuck? I was.
Well, last night is not a penis, so there's no joke there.
I'm the lead fullback. I opened the hole.
You're a terrible fullback. Then
you go through it.
You're terrible. You're what Toby Gerhardt will be in a couple of years. A terrible fullback.
Look at him with those headphones.
I don't look any ridiculous than you or him, so we all look ridiculous.
He
Let's take
like
a picture.
Greg Gazzu.
Doc pulls it off somehow. I don't know if it's his head size or he looks the least ridiculous of the four of us. Well, Eric will
definitely have a very narrow head. I look funny in headphones.
I think
too.
Eric's going to look really funny.
We should take a picture of Eric and put it on PFWinProgress.com.
Let's just all pretend we look cooler and laugh at him when he puts his on.
With the nose.
All right, web radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
Can we get to the news?
Yeah. Go.
What do you think the news is?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I think the news of the day
is
not the fact that Adalys Thomas was not here to start off-season program on Monday when contacted by the Boston Herald. It's the fact that he didn't know the off-season program started on Monday.
Yes. This is a problem.
No, see, is it? I don't know what it is.
I would think that that would end any and all speculation as to whether or not he will be part of the 2010 Patriots.
I mean, the fact...
Because if they didn't even let him know
when
the off-season program started, he's not in the plans.
It's either they didn't let him know, which, like you said, he's not going to be part of it, or they did and he just doesn't know, which is even another problem, a separate problem.
Or he has a lying problem. I think he may have a lying problem.
And then even if you didn't know, don't admit it. And, you know, you're busy. You know, Ty Warren was, according to Mike Reese, going back and getting his diploma. So that's why he's not here.
Does anybody work out anymore?
Have an excuse. We're assuming he wasn't going to be here anyway, Adalys Thomas. Have something ready, you know?
I would have said I was in Hempstead working out with the Jets.
By the way, you brought up Mike Reese, Freddie, and we were talking. Andy and I both kind of disagreed with your assertion that the Lee Bodden contract was overly generous, and he would certainly, Mike would share your view, saying that it was a surprisingly lucrative deal for Bodden. I think that's what starting cornerbacks make, but Mike agrees with you.
Well, there are different levels of starting quarterback, and it wasn't the total package. It was the $10 million guarantee.
See, I think that's actually the smallest part.
I do, too.
All right. Well, that's just what I was thinking.
And I'm not sure.
I'm glad he's here.
The story you're referencing, Paul, was about how some people around the league had been, wow, what are they paying? You know, they're giving out money.
I think they're talking about Vince, personally.
I think they are talking about Vince, but I also think that sways, you know, there's a difference between market value and Patriots market value, and they paid at least market value for Lee Bodden. So I that's where I think the question comes in. But, I mean, Ellis Hobbs was making, what, 2.5 when they let him go? His salary alone was 2.5.
Ellis Hobbs' salary right now is going to be his tender,
because
he was restricted, like Logan Mankins, is going to be higher than the tender level because his salary was too high.
So that tells me Lee Bodden is making $5 million a year. He's certainly much better than Ellis Hobbs. So on your little scale of starting NFL corners, which Hobbs used to be, he doesn't start anymore, but on that scale, Bodden's near the top. He's closer to the top. There's only a couple elite, and then there's the Bodden category. So that's why I think he's getting paid a fair share for a true starting cornerback.
Tom Curran had an interesting article yesterday talking about the player. The Patriots won an award for top team for player development, and this is off-field, the stuff that they do for the players to allow them to either, you know, learn something in the off-season about a company or, you know, whatever it is, to develop themselves in other ways other than as a football player.
Harold Nash and that.
Yeah, so they won that
Belichick
award.
Belichick actually had a lot to do with that, too. I was reading Mike's stuff about that, too.
Yeah.
Belichick, I guess, spearheaded that safe boating program that they did, and he also was instrumental in getting Doc Rivers to come.
Well, you know why that? The safe voting.
Obviously.
Marquise Hill. But
and others. There was the one last year down in Florida where the guys died.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Right.
And Belichick is obviously a water guy. He has his boat.
That's right.
In Nantucket. What is it? Four rings? Five rings?
Yes. I
How
think
many rings is
four
it?
Four rings.
I don't know.
Five rings.
5 years ago?
Six rings.
What?
Wow.
Is this on?
Wow.
He's a negative fat man.
You know, I kid.
It's not surprising. But
I learned it
from
Fred.
Tom was smart enough to point out that this is in direct contrast to how Asante Samuel feels that this team doesn't care about its players. You know, so.
I sent Tom an email about
You and
that.
Tom are certainly aligned in your beliefs.
Well, I think it's only right to point that out. I mean, that got a whole week's worth of coverage. Then they win this award, and it gets barely a mention anywhere.
I don't know. I've seen it everywhere.
Yeah, because on Patriots.com.
I've seen it. Obviously, we have it, but I saw Mike Reese wrote two or three different blog things about it. I saw Bert Breer mentioned it, and I saw Tom Curran mentioned it. I mean, what does he want people to do?
Well, we had to...
I sent Tom an email, by the way, as a funny.
Yeah.
About that.
Which
maybe has a funny. He may fight you.
Well, yeah. Tom might not find it funny, but you'll probably get mad at me. I was just joking before you do. I said the Patriots have to be at the forefront of all those initiatives because they don't pay their players. They have to be prepared.
Yes.
Oh, my God, that is
but
funny.
Andy does make a good point. Tom might get mad at me for that. Because mm-hmm. You never know. He's volatile.
Yeah. You never know.
Even though he loves, he's a friend of PFW.
You know, you never know what sets him off.
In all seriousness, no. Any concern about the Warren not working out, and he kind of taking the Brady approach? At some point in your career, you're established, and you have other responsibilities.
As long as they're here by May 1, I have no problem with it.
Well, what makes you think they're going to be here by May 1?
I think you will.
Okay.
Or by June 1, because that's when school's let out.
I'm just a little...
I think he'll be here for minicamp, based on the way he sounded.
We're really trending in that direction, where we're going away from... We're going more towards other teams. I'm not saying this is abnormal for the NFL. It just feels like a lot of other teams have done this in the past, where not as many guys were in town for off-season voluntary workouts. Some of these more established players now are doing the same thing. I just think it's a little change, especially for a guy like Warren. I'm not sure he's been, you know... He's established as a starter, but is he established as...
Look, I hope as part of the next CBA that the players' union actually cracks down on these voluntary things and actually limits the time that those can start, the amount that they can have. And, you know, I think it'd be fair for teams to say, okay, we can start later, but as a player, you have to come in at a certain, you know, physical condition or else you're fined or whatever. And so...
Why?
Which forces the player to keep in shape on his own.
Why do you want them to crack down and lessen?
Because I don't want guys coming in unshape and getting hurt
on the first day. I mean, why can't the team say, we're going to have an off-season program. It starts in March. We want you here.
Because we all know...
You make me work year-round. Why don't they have to work year-round?
Because we all know that they're not really voluntary.
Right. So just call them mandatory.
Right.
I don't want to lessen them. I want to call them mandatory.
But if the league says you just can't have them at this time of year, period, I don't care whether they're voluntary or mandatory, then they just can't have them. And, you know, I think that's the only way to make it fair, you know, because you're on one team where they say, you know, if we see a fine, then you get on another team and you know, it's the pressure is there because you got a Rodney Harrison who's taking attendance every day, you know. It's just not fair for the player, I don't think.
Why?
And I think it puts undue pressure. It's just and this whole thing about keeping score with, oh, he's not here and he is and he's not. You know, it's – I think that if you're going to make rules that can be enforceable, you know. And I think that in the CBA, they make it clear that these are voluntary, but teams don't treat them that way. And I don't think it's you know, this is one of the few times that I side on the player side. Usually I come down on management.
Well, I agree that they're not voluntary, and maybe the wording needs to be changed. But I think the team should be allowed to make them mandatory if they want. And that you're paid or you're not paid, whatever, however you enforce it.
You know, we talked about injury studies and stuff like that. You know, I mentioned the field turf thing. And I would wonder, and I don't have any results on this, but I would wonder if they do studies on – just how much these guys can handle, how much they bought, you know, to get to your point, Fred, you know, you're here for, four weeks, 5 weeks, you know, in March and April, and then you're back for passing camp and you know, in May, and then you're back for a mandatory mini camp in June, and then you're back to do full training camp, full bore. And I wonder if maybe some of that is leading to you know, to more injury risk, or if the flip side is true, like Andy says, maybe that helps them, you know, that they're in shape the whole time, so that prevents injuries. I don't know. I don't know what the study would show, but I can understand the players saying, you know, this whole 12-month thing, it's a lot of wear and tear on my body, and I don't know if that's a good thing.
I mean, I'd rather, like, limit it during this time of year, just eliminate it, and maybe extend training camp. So, like, the month of July is all classroom, strength and conditioning, no contact whatsoever. And then at the end of July, you start like the traditional training camp. But you have a month to install stuff, you know, because they do need time to do that. That's why the early June mini camp is important. You know, they send them away with their playbook. But you use that month to install, get guys in condition, get their strength up, and then you start hitting, you know, at the end of July like you do now.
But shouldn't it
but
be
right
up
now,
to the team?
Right now, they go away after the June mandatory mini camp, and you don't see them again until mid-July.
Right.
You know? So I don't know what they're – you hope that they're keeping in shape on their own, but you don't know. You know? That's why they have the conditioning run when they get back here.
Shouldn't the team have as much say as possible in that, in the schedule?
I think it should be uniform across the league. I don't think that one team should demand more or less than another team. I think it should be uniform across the league.
Why?
I think that as a player, you know, you go on one team and it's one way, and you go on another team and it's another way, and, you know, then it becomes an arms race.
But isn't that the real world?
Then it's like, you know, the Patriots start in March. You know, we have to start in mid-February. Oh, they start in mid-February. We have to, you know, it becomes this arms race. And like everything else, you know, one team has to do it a little bit more or better than the other team.
Right.
You know, and I think it's unfair to the players.
And
to the coaches. Think about the assistant coaches. You know, a lot of these guys don't make a lot of money. You know, they're lucky if they make six figures. You know, and so relative terms in the NFL, that's not a lot of money. Yet they work as many hours, if not more, than all the coaches. So, you know, for all these voluntary things, it's mandatory for the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so they're, you know.
What happened to the Fred Kirsch I know and love who says this is the business we have chosen?
It is right now.
Because that's the approach I really take to the players, the coaches.
And it's,
do you want to do the job? Do it.
Look,
if you don't, don't.
If I was running the Patriots, I'd be the same way as Belichick. I'd be doing a little bit more, a little bit extra. You know, get that edge. Unless I couldn't. Unless it was a league rule that I could not. And then I wouldn't. So left to their own devices, what I'm saying, teams will do everything they can to get that edge. That's why the league, as the governing body, has to come in and set those rules so teams don't take advantage.
If it's an edge, as Paul says,
yeah,
maybe some coach comes in and goes, you know what? These players get burnt out mentally and physically.
Yeah, and I don't know
and
the
some
answer
coach
to that.
Goes, I'm going to give them March and April off. I don't give two rats' butts what the Patriots are doing. And then when that team wins a Super Bowl, had Steve Spurrier been successful in his whole theories, then people would have started following that. But
I'm going to golf every day. No.
Isn't that what competition is all about, finding the best way to do things?
And that coach that does what you're saying could be right, but unless they win with that system, they're going to get called out by their owner who says,
Belichick's system wouldn't be right if they didn't win with it.
No, but at least you can say, we're working hard. We're doing more than the other teams. You can't hold that against them. You put yourself out there when you take, quote unquote, the easy way out.
Even though
it might be the smart way.
I like
competition. You know these owners. Well, how come the Jets are in them, you know, 2 weeks earlier than us? You know? That's the mentality.
So if I'm the coach,
that's why the league has to set
I say
the rules.
Because guys get burnt out. I've seen it in my history. I'm not burning my guys out. There's a long enough year from June on.
It's up to you to get them in here but pace it so that they don't get burnt out. The Jets weren't burnt out. They finished ahead of us. And they got in a – you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, so
– work smarter, not harder.
That's why – you need governing bodies in instances like this.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
To level the playing field.
I don't buy it at all.
Okay.
I think you should be allowed to do what you want. It's what they always talk about.
You can't.
You go from the college level to the pro level. They always say
it's life.
It's a life now. It's a business. There's no more class. There's no more 2 hours a day, 8 hours a week. It's your life. This is the business you have chosen.
I'm really upset when you guys get involved in discussions and you debate something that I'm really wishy-washy on. I feel like it's the great debate all over again where I was kind of seeing both sides. I think you guys both made good points. I hate that. Move on.
Do we have to talk about Northeastern bat? Oh, how'd they do last night?
Tonight.
Oh, tonight Northeastern
season officially ends tonight.
UConn and the NIT.
Right.
Why do you say
the big husky eats the little husky?
Why don't you have a little bit of faith in your team? You know?
Do you want me to tell you how
I can see it.
Did you do this? I don't give a crap what Paul thinks about
Northeastern. I can see you having that attitude with the Patriots, but your Huskies?
Why would I have that argument with the Patriots? The Patriots are the opposite. The Patriots generally will find a way to win when it counts. You know, this past offseason, postseason notwithstanding.
This past 5 years notwithstanding.
If you really want to know, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Northeastern will be very much. Yes, it'll be very quick. They'll be very much in position to win the game tonight, and they will not be able to get a rebound when it counts, and they will lose. It will be competitive. They will never have a chance to win down the stretch because they will get out-rebounded by a minimum of 18.
I know, but they are going up against UConn, which
I understand that, but that's what happens every game they play.
Somebody that got out of prison, they're going up against UConn. It's UConn. Number three will be the best athlete on the court and suck. That's my prediction.
No, I think he'll have a big game tonight. The pressure's off.
Yeah. All right.
That will be chasing
good
out.
NIT.
Runner-up for CAA player.
Did you guys get your pools in for the NCAA?
Not yet, but I will be.
Yeah.
Our good friend
how many
Tomash
you win this
doing a
year?
Fine job.
Just one. Really? It's probably a big one, though, right?
No, ours.
I don't have one.
We found out what Tomash's job is here. Get us lunch and organize the NCAA pool.
Oh, okay. Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Again, thanks for Chris with the TIAN for getting us lunch today. What was the occasion, Doc? Any reason why he did it? Or
he said he would.
He loves us.
He just said he would, so we did it. Well, that's what we like.
And we're waiting on an email from him, too.
People who stick by their word.
I like that.
Stand by their word. So, any other news besides the off-season program beginning? And
LT is a Jet.
I know that Stacey James from the Patriots PR has tweeted out some photos from the conditioning program on Twitter. So if you go to at Real Patriots, you can see some photos from the first day of conditioning.
Check it out
here at the stadium.
There was some movement as Andy, I'm sorry, it moved. There was some movement in free agency as Andy alluded to with LT.
Fred wasn't apparently interested in that. He skipped right past it.
But also Ben Watson officially signed with Seattle. I mean, with Cleveland.
No truth to the rumor. He dropped the pen when they handed it to him to sign the contract.
It's good timing on that.
That was good.
No real news in terms of Patriots. Coming, however.
Easy. Jeez, we got movement coming. I mean, what is
why,
going on?
Why can't you just have a discussion without using every word in as dirty a way
but
as
the
you
difference
can?
Is, there was a hint of dirtiness to that. It wasn't you in your attic with a flashlight. There was no dirty, and he tried to make that dirty.
At least mine was
a
little
dirty. I
think he was alluding
to
the small space.
Every time you use the word coming, you have to, like, you know, attach some type of...
Because that's dirty, you know.
Yeah.
For example, if you said, is Dick coming to the meeting? That's funny.
Yeah, but that's not what he said.
I'm just giving an example. Pretty much any dick is also funny.
Oh, boy. There was a guy on ESPN yesterday.
See, he makes fun of me, but now he's got an example.
No, there was a – while we were having our lunch with Gannett, somebody was on ESPN or one of the TVs, and his name was Pat Cox. So I thought that was
Oh, no, that's the guy that – looks like Dan Copen that does the commercial.
Oh, right, right. He was the commercial.
Yeah, the red beard guy.
Right, right.
Yeah, he is Pat Cox.
Tax attorney, Pat Cox.
There's a Parrish Cox in the draft, you know. There's also a Richard Dixon.
That's true.
Wow.
All right, should I move it along to another thing that might have happened?
There was another thing that I was going to bring up.
Well, we did have the Hall of Fame meeting yesterday.
Oh, yeah, Paul, you were tied up all morning. Why don't you tell them what you were doing?
Well, we picked two things this year. First thing, we did an all-decade team for the aughts, so to speak, which most of those choices I thought were fairly obvious. And I'm being interested, you know, for the listeners, they can weigh in. You know, we picked a pretty traditional team.
You know the
team.
Results?
They are going to be announced, I think, today. I don't know the actual results yet. I don't know of them. But I can tell you that most choices were fairly obvious
Brady.
At all the spots. You know, Brady, Belichick.
Belichick.
They did have – we made one alteration.
I know the results.
Do you have them already? Because I know we're announcing them today, I believe.
You can tell – yeah, you can tell – ask me. I can't go down the list, but
right.
You can ask me. And I know
there were very few that were really up for debate, and that's what I was getting to.
How about that surprised me?
I was interested in some of the listeners if they had any thoughts, but
– I was surprised at tight end and running back.
Tight end was Daniel Graham, I believe.
Yes.
I mean, that to me was a no-brainer.
Well, I thought Ben Watson was as productive, if not more.
No.
Okay.
There was one spot, you know, this is kind of funny. And
Tommy Ashworth?
Yeah, I don't mean this to be a joke in any way, but the one of the toughest spots that we had to pick was the second tackle along with Matt Light. And they just weren't a lot of candidates. Nick Kazier is the guy who started the most games there. And I think we all admit that he's sort of been the weak link of the offensive line. since he's become a starter. Tom Ashworth was there. He had a lot of success. The team had a lot of success when he played. Greg Robinson Randall.
Remember, this is just the aughts.
Brandon right. Gorin, yes.
Right.
So that's we picked that team early in the meeting, and that kind of went pretty smoothly. Like I said, that was one of the few things. I picked Tom Ashworth, and I'm not going to lie. I picked largely because I happen to think the guy was a great guy, and they won games with him. I don't think he's a great player. I think if probably, gun to my head, if you had to tell me which guy is a better football player, I'd probably say Nick Kazier, and I would base that on Kazier's rookie year when Matt Light got hurt. He went over and played left tackle for most of that season and did okay. It wasn't a disaster. Ashworth ended up having to play left tackle in the playoff game, if I recall, and it didn't go so okay.
No, I thought he gave up that play on the right side.
I think it was on the left side. The guy that blitzed Brady from the backside, and he squirted out to the right side.
Not really a good source on this. I've never seen
you
it.
You weren't there. Anyway, that was a lot of fun to pick that, and we also submitted our nominations, to which I have no idea what the results are, and that will not be announced for a little while. But the three nominees for this year's 2010 Patriots Hall of Famer will be announced probably in about a month or so. Check Patriots.com for that. And as always, the fans will get to vote on the winner, the Hall of Fame
right, on Patriots.com.
Inductee.
Any big arguments?
Well, there was a lot of talk. The biggest philosophical discussion was about, and this could be the last year, of anybody who sort of played before 1990 having a shot. Because starting next year with guys like Bledsoe and Troy Brown and Rodney Harrison and Teddy Bruschi, Willie McGinnis, Ty Law, these guys are going to start coming up. No, they're all going to be staggered.
Right.
I think Bledsoe is going to be is up next year.
Right.
He'll be eligible. It's 4 years after.
He gets in on a banana peel.
I think he goes right in. Yeah. That seemed to be the thoughts there, too. Hey, guy. And that, I think, will be the is this another Twitter opportunity? Is this another one that Stacey's not going to tweet out so I won't get? It's unbelievable. We have cameras in here. Eric is here.
Eric's here with his Scott Brown field coat.
It does look like that, doesn't it?
Why do you always wait till I have a drink in my mouth? Andy, easy. I have just a drink in my mouth. That's all.
I wouldn't make a joke.
So you described them as philosophical conversations.
Well, because there was a lot of talk about, what are we going to do about the Sam Cunninghams, the Ray Claibornes, the John Morrises, guys that probably Houston Antoine.
If they should be in, they're going to get in.
They should have been in already.
Right.
And that's the way. I mean, I think that Irving Fryer, there was a lot of talk about him yesterday. Sam Cunningham, Ray Claiborne. Ray Claiborne's a guy that I sort of back. I just think he was a great, great player. Leon Gray's another one. And I should add that we do have some members of the coaching staff and players from different eras. Steve Grogan is always there to sort of talk up on behalf of the guys that he played with. Andre Tippett is in the house. We had Lenny St. Jean there kind of representing the 60s, and he kind of overlapped into the 70s too. So.
Yeah, Lenny St. Jean was a solid lineman.
He got to play with John Morris and blocked for Jim Nance, but he also blocked for Sam Cunningham alongside Leon Gray.
Yeah,
that's kind of an interesting guy.
He had a 10-year career here, and actually when they told him he was done, he didn't want to quit. He actually went and played.
Fairbanks cut him. He talked about that yesterday too.
He actually went and played for the WFL at the time, I think it was.
Oh, yeah? He played in the World League?
Yeah. Yep.
The first World League.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eric, how you doing?
Good, Freddie.
Cranberry, V-neck.
Burgundy. Let's go with Burgundy.
Burgundy.
Yeah.
Cashmere?
Chris is rolling their actually. Eyes behind you, by the way. You can't see it.
As expected.
Good, good.
How's Gerard
so
Mayo
doing?
Gerard's fine. We spoke to him and Sebastian Vollmer.
Oh,
Freddy's
Seabass.
Guy. Yeah.
Mayo.
Nice.
The field looks great, by the way.
Yeah, I was
they're
just
finished,
out there feeling
finished
it.
With the...
I was. I wanted to see, because I was told it was softer than the other fields, so
and,
I wanted
and is
to
it?
Check
Fred
it out.
Says he detects no difference, by the way.
Yeah, very little difference.
Definitely a visual difference, but not by the texture.
Visual difference, and it looks like there's not only the rubberized pellet material, but also some sand.
Yeah, there's
some
sand
actual
there.
Sand
yeah,
as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So a little bit more like
did
a
realistic
field. Did
you kick it to see how much came up?
I thought that was one of the negatives of the other field.
Why, a lot
I
of
thought
sand
here,
came up?
No, more of the black dots came up here than when I watched games in other places. Like they were closer to the top or
well,
looser.
Well, toward the end they
yeah.
were because
yeah.
it was so matted down. Yeah.
Well, actually, towards the end, towards why are we acting
end.
Like this field was here for 17 decades?
It was worse when they first put it in than
I thought
at
it was not
end.
Good.
Well, I mean, I still have shoes that have that black stuff.
And that may have, because it was matted down, it may have looked like the rubber was higher, but really the grass was lower.
Right. And then you get those patches where it's really dark because that's where it's kind of
got peed on at the country fest.
You know, a lot of the rubber gathered in certain areas. You know, they need to be groomed just like a regular field. Not as
the field
extensively,
groomer.
But you have to brush it.
It's got to be fluffed up a little.
I guess they call it scrubbing it. You have to scrub it.
Well, that's how they get the paint off it to change your
football. Then you got they have a fluffer.
Yeah, and they have a fluffer and a scrubber.
You asked to come in here, Christy.
And believe it or not.
You haven't heard the least of it.
In the heat of the summer, they have to water it because it gets so hot. Mm.
I'm going with not. You gave me the option. No, I don't believe
that they do have to put water down.
For what?
The rubber will dry right out and all that stuff.
They have to water a fake field?
Yep. They have to put water on. That's what I was told the first time.
But as far as the two interviews were concerned, I think the most noteworthy thing to
come
out of...
I'm sorry, we skipped over your interview.
Well, a little bit. But
yeah. Let me guess. Mayo says he's going to make plays in his third year.
No, but the
you
whole...
You really are a jerk.
The whole issue of leadership obviously came up, and I think it was kind of surprising that, you know, in the past he's always said, I'm a lead-by-example kind of guy.
Right.
And for the first time, he kind of acknowledged that he needs to step up and be more of a vocal leader. And we kind
of told him, if you do that after 6 years, we'll give you a contract.
Maybe he saw the handwriting on the wall. Good job, Freddie. But I just thought that was a little revealing. And I think there was a line of questioning that continued as far as, is it difficult for a second-year guy to come into a locker room, even though he's named a captain, and tell 8, 9, 10-year veterans that they need to step up and do their job and this and that.
Willis Thomas.
A little bit of a credibility.
Especially when the guy's going the wrong way.
Right.
And he kind of conceded that point. And now that he's a third-year guy with a year of captaincy behind him already, it's maybe time for him to start being a little bit more vocal. And there's a fine line, he said, that you dance between just getting up and speaking because you're expected to, and doing so when it's heartfelt and when it's meaningful and when it will actually have an effect. So maybe we'll see a more vocal Gerard Mayo or hear about a more vocal Gerard Mayo in the upcoming season.
Okay. And you said you also spoke with Vollmer.
Sebby Vollmer, yeah.
Was he any more open and forthcoming than he was a year ago? Because he was a tough interview at times last year.
I think he's still very much in the rookie mold where he's very guarded about what he says.
But he should be.
But he's very personable when he says it. He's a good guy to talk to.
But he's very guarded, guarded, and that makes it at times tough. And
I asked him if he felt like a veteran yet, because now it's the off season and he's already has a year behind him, and he kind of still feels like a rookie, which is
nice. But I can see that.
Yeah. But
did you ask him which starting job he's going to actually have this year? Which side?
He was asked if he felt like he could be a full time starter, and he kind of tiptoed around that as well.
I think he should tiptoe.
Yeah,
until
smart,
week one,
very
he
smart.
Until he has a starting job, I would avoid
that.
He said nothing,
it's okay if you tell people you're starting.
Yeah, he said nothing controversial.
Well, I think 100% he's starting. I just don't know.
I do too. I agree. But he did a good job of not stepping on anyone's toes.
As he should.
All
right. Hey, Fred.
Yeah.
Not to go back in topics here, but you were talking about the Hall of Fame voting.
Yeah.
Or the all-decade team. That's actually going to come out at 1 o'clock today on Patriots.com and at Real Patriots. However, I screwed that up. I apologize.
Holy crap.
It's coming out at 1:30. It's coming out at 1:30, but we will break it at 1 o'clock.
I'm going to break it now. Fred says he knows them all.
I do.
Well, we can wait till 1.
I'm getting an email.
Fred's in charge
of
Patriots.com, isn't he? I bet you I could guess him.
There's only like...
Brady. Belichick.
There's only, I would say, two or three...
Moss, Welker.
That were, I think, in question.
Okay.
Right.
It's interesting.
Now, do you want to start doing it now, or
no,
do you
we'll
want
do it
to just
one.
Wait?
We'll wait till 1, because we have to take a break right now.
Okay.
When we come back, we have a lot of emails, so we'll get to them right after this.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but I,
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member PIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
Yes,
they do.
But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No, you're not doing it.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
I just don't understand all the double entendre.
Hey, where's Christian?
Just a very simple fact.
That one was dirty too.
All right.
Oh, by the way, thanks for lunch, Christian.
Why don't they use that picture of Megyn Kelly for that?
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Got a lot of emails. Chris from Geekville writes in. It's actually Chris upstairs, a webmaster.
But he certainly resides in Geekville.
We're talking about
the mayor.
Players
Herrera
union a little bit earlier. And
geek.
He felt compelled to write the serious opinion / email. He says, I was listening to Kevin Maway interview on NFL Network last night.
I'm
he was discussing how the players want health insurance for life, and it got me thinking that if the players' union wants the fans to take their side, why mention this point? This seems very ignorant on their part, considering the average American struggles to pay for or simply doesn't have health insurance. These players will be relatively young when they retire and should work like the rest of us and pay for their own health insurance. I'm all for paying the veteran players, not rookies, but health insurance for life is ridiculous. I think there could be some exceptions where certain players have debilitating injuries from football and are unable to work, and in that case, the NFL has the obligation to take care of the player. What do you guys think?
He's a jackass.
I agree with Barack.
I think it's an interesting topic.
Straight insurance for life, that's a little bit much, I think.
I do think there's an argument to be made that these guys, even though they're young, are in a lot worse physical condition
certainly.
When they're done than
they're
the
like
average
Dr.
Joe.
Oz.
No question. No
Dr.
question. Oz has, you go on his show and he gives you, like, it's all for fat people, but he gives you your real age, not what your age is, but
yeah.
Because of what you've eaten, what you weigh. NFL football players, when they retire at 34, are not 34. They're
what are they, like,
44,
60?
50. Well, I don't know. They haven't been on the show. I don't even know how the thing works. It's a gimmick. But my point is that they're certainly not their birth age when they retire. But I don't know.
See, I struggle with this, and, you know, I probably shouldn't say this because a lot of people will probably get mad at me, but I just, unions bother me. All this, we deserve this for life, and we deserve that for life, and, well, then why doesn't everybody deserve that for life? It's...
Their answer would be everyone should be in a union.
Yeah.
That's what they think.
Yeah, I share Andy's opinion on unions.
So,
actually, let me ask a question. I don't want to give my opinion. This is real world, and kind of want to... Did you see the lawsuit with the 9/11 first responders? Where there's like all these people are suing because, you know, they've developed certain ailments from the dust and from the this and from the that they went through in the days and weeks after the 9/11 bombings. And they're suing, and now the
who
city.
Who are they suing?
The city. The various people. It's the Port Authority that ran the building, the city, various.
Wow.
And they're suing for, and the city has offered, I think, $697 million to them as a class action type settlement.
Right.
If 90% of them accept, whatever. I'm torn. You're a fireman.
Right.
Your career is risky. Your job that you took from day one was knowing when you have to do your job, it could be
life or death
resulting.
Right, exactly.
So I don't want to seem insensitive, but...
Yeah, to me...
Why are you suing for doing your job?
It's a little exploitive on their part, I think, because the city's not going to, like, fight them on it. You know, so it's...
And if you're disabled, I think there are already channels and avenues to go through disability.
Right.
So are you just looking for flat-out cash?
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't pass the stink test to me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm insensitive, maybe I'm not a great patriotic American or whatever, but that smells to me.
Yeah.
It smells like people just trying to get a paycheck.
I mean, it's a money grab.
These guys that come back from war that have post-traumatic syndrome or... whatever else, you know, they don't sue.
Right. Give them $100 million.
They get their health care, you know.
And I'm all for helping them, doing more with veterans hospitals, more with veterans programs. But I'm not for just writing a check for, this guy, he lost a leg, $50 million.
I wonder.
He went in knowing he could lose a leg or a life or an eye or anything.
I wonder how many journalists are suffering from any sort of, you know, respiratory or any sort of other illnesses. Because
and they didn't necessarily sign up for.
Right, because they certainly went in without any sort of protective gear, most of them anyway. Some of them might have had, like, the little hospital mask type things. But
I just, it does feel like a money grab.
It seems exploitive to me on their part.
And I think people would be scared to say no.
That's
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who wants to be the guy that says,
you're the mayor or the governor or whatever?
Anything heroic about 9/11.
Right.
And is that, like, the entire force? Or is that just like a segment of...
It's all the people that responded. It's a lot of them. I don't know exactly the numbers, but it's... I think they took a lot of, like, thousands of separate lawsuits and kind of made them into a class action, and it's proceeding from there. But they've come back with an offer. And the reason it made me think of it is they're not likely to accept this offer of $697 million because they want insurance for life as part of whatever settlement they get. They want all medical paid for life. And I just... First of all, I think if you really suffered something, then that falls under workman's comp or disability.
Right.
And it's taken care of that way. It just feels like, it's dirty.
Yeah.
It's part of why things I hate about this country. Everybody, I think this as a country, we're generally pretty open and giving and caring about our own, and people just try to take more. Oh, you're going to give me this? Right. I'm going to take this and that.
Well, it's even the Toyota thing, you know. Look, I think Toyota should have to pay everything that's coming to it, but now you got this guy that's faking it.
Right.
You know?
So. That was a pretty clear money grab. Actually, Andy said something before the story was really
the
even
first
out.
The day we saw it, probably Mel.
Andy
probably
immediately
Megyn Kelly
said that he smelled something on that
stunk.
One. And I
immediately knew it was fake.
Right. Salim in Virginia, had to listen to Thursday's show on podcast, so this comment's a little late, but why do we need to keep Adalys Thomas away from the Jets? If he sucks, he sucks. Why not trade him to the Jets? If Rex loves him so much, why won't he trade for him? Basically, tell Rex that if he doesn't want to do a deal, another team will get Thomas, say, for instance, Seattle, for Brandt, and try to get something out of him and the GM.
I think that'd be a good deal for the Patriots, straight up.
Sure.
Right.
Thomas, everybody's Thomas hoping that they sign Brandon Marshall.
Right, so
then
Brandt becomes
expendable and they can trade him.
I mean, obviously, trading Thomas is better than releasing him.
Yeah.
Who's going to take him?
But what about the point of if you really don't think he can play, why are you so worried about him going to the Jets?
I like that point.
I think
Bill, you thought he was so bad he was inactive. He was interchangeable with Rob Ninkovich. Would you give the Jets Rob Ninkovich? Well, give him Adalys Thomas.
I never said that.
So I think they're afraid that he would be used better in
they're afraid he's
going to
have 10
system.
Sacks, four of them against Brady.
I actually think this is one of the very few times that –
because there's no cap implications, so you don't have to worry about it. I think this is strictly personal.
Yeah, it feels
I don't think that it really has much business. I mean, usually Bill is a very calculated businessman. Mm-hmm. And to his credit, I think he's able to take emotion out of it. I think there's emotion involved in this. I'm not saying he's wrong. He has the opportunity to allow emotion to take control because there are no cap implications. He's not hurting the team.
Because he's thinking business first, and then he there is no reason.
If he was hurting the team in any way, I would say, Bill, you got to get over it. But because of the unique circumstances of the uncapped situation, he's able to kind of get the best of both worlds. He can hold on to AD as long as he wants. And then get rid of him at no cost, not hurting the team at all. Like Andy says, they know he's not part of the plans. What happens if he comes knocking on the door for off-season program? Well, then you might have to be forced to make a decision.
That's what I would have done
today. If AD makes himself a nuisance, you know, he's claiming he doesn't even know about it.
As soon as the Herald let me know that the off-season program started, I would have put on a Jets jersey and knocked on the door outside and said, I want to work out.
See, I think Eric. What do you think about all that, about him?
About his not knowing?
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
Because I think that he is not a part of their program, not a part of their process, and they didn't even know.
I don't really buy it either. He's a fibber.
Well, here's why.
Because he's definitely a fibber.
Here's why I don't buy it. You can't tell me that he's not still friendly with some players on this team.
Right.
And you can't tell
me they're not coming either.
No, but
Sean Springs.
His closest friend was Ty Warren. He's at A&M.
You can't tell me that those guys haven't at least mentioned in passing, oh, I got to get back up to Foxborough or whatever.
Plus, it pretty much started the same time last
year. It starts the same time every year. You're telling me you don't
know? It's like the 15th, 16th, 17th every year.
That's bogus.
But you're misunderstanding. Did he know that off-season programs are starting around now? Yes. I don't disagree with you guys for a second. But maybe he didn't know specifically March 15th.
I find that hard to believe. Because
and I think you guys are under this impression that all the players spend the whole offseason hanging out with each other. He might not have talked to a soul on the Patriots in the past month.
Okay, fine.
I'm tired to talk to Bart Scott.
At the end of the
and
season.
And he was mad about it.
Hanging out with his teammates.
When they were last together as a team and they had their end-of-year team meeting, you don't think at that point, at the end of the meeting, somebody, Bill, Bears, somebody said, all right, guys, we'll see you on March,
that's
whatever.
That's logical. I don't know. I would think that there's some.
Yeah, but you're under the impression he was paying attention.
See, I'm not sure. Because
if he did that, we might not be in this predicament.
I think at a team meeting to end the season, there's a lot of guys that aren't going to be on
Chris
the Patriots.
Chris Farley dying in the corner.
Do you know what I'm saying? I think at a team meeting in January, there's a lot of guys that won't be on the Patriots. And I don't think Bill is looking to give out information to guys that potentially won't be there. I think at some point, probably in late February, some sort of literature went out to the players to let them know what's expected of them.
Right, since he's under contract still, I would assume that he knew what.
Now, I could see him getting something from the Patriots.
Maybe.
And throwing it away.
Maybe.
Or I could see them saying, well, he's on the Patriots in name only. I'm not even sending it to him.
That would have been a good question to ask.
Waste a stamp.
Sebby Vollmer, when did you find out when offseason.
Wait a minute. It would have been an okay
for Gerard
question
to ask Mayo.
Right.
You don't ask Vollmer.
Now, if you're trying to get Vollmer in
Mayo's
trouble.
Mayo's here. He didn't have to come from anywhere because he's been living here since the end of January.
Here.
But
it's just a typical day on the field for him
today,
though.
Actually, Seabass was asked about that, too. He said, I went home to Germany for a week, but otherwise I've been here.
Tyrone Wheatley.
So
he's running back.
Vollmer's been a lot like Mayo. He's been here working out, studying film.
Gerard Mayo, not the only guy who works out. Can we, put an end to that myth that he's like the hardest working guy in the history of the world.
Someone had
other guys
Brady.
Try too. James Sanders.
Someone had to replace Brady.
Wow. Okay.
You knew it was going to come back to James Sanders eventually.
Of course it would.
Is James Sanders here?
Of course.
How do you know?
Because he's James Sanders.
You don't know.
I do.
Isaiah Standback is here, Freddie.
I do.
James Sanders is
Isaiah
ridiculous.
I was walking. I was walking down the concourse yesterday.
How do you know he's not here?
Oh yeah, you had a little.
Yeah, and they were.
Yes.
Strength coach Mike Wojcik was. Working with those, the big medicine balls. They throw them off the, I think it's all a lot of core stuff I wouldn't know anything about.
Right.
They're throwing the medicine ball off the wall, and I come around the corner, and I'm walking down, and it must have been right after as Isaiah Standback, who's, by the way, one of the best guys in the locker room. He must have just finished one of his reps.
That's our problem.
He has the ball in his hand, and he turns to me, and he hands it like, okay, it's your turn now. I go, no thanks, man, I'm good.
got a bad wheel.
As I limped by with
that
my
would
bad
be a good
Achilles.
PFW commercial. We do that whole setup, and he holds it out to you, and you grab it, and it crashes to the floor because it's too heavy.
Are you going to have to have David Beckham surgery?
We'll find out.
We used to make funny PFW commercials. Maybe
we should
start doing those again.
Oh, advertising?
There's a novel thought.
Aside from that billboard that's under the U-bid gate that no one sees next to the garbage cans.
Eric writes in, hey, guys, what do you think about the Pats going after some lower-level unrestricted free agents such as the Carolina Panthers defensive end Tyler Brayton? Seems to me that they have some holes to fill along the D-line. From what I've heard, Brayton is a high-energy, good-character guy that is strong against the run but does have some edge rush ability. Are you hearing anything along the lines of Pat's interest in any of these types of UFAs?
No. But he's an LSU guy, right, Fred?
Brayton?
Tyler Brayton. Cal, I thought.
Oh. Look it up. Panthers, media guy.
Doc, can you look that up? Tyler Brayton. I'm going to laugh if it's like...
Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
You want to wager a guess, Eric?
Phone number?
Paul's got Cal.
He's a former number one pick,
LSU.
I know that, right? With the Raiders.
I don't know.
I think he was originally a first-round pick of the Raiders.
Should
Getting
the Patriots
out of our universe here.
And
Colorado.
Their fans. Colorado.
Split the difference.
Nobody got it.
Halfway between
you and Cal.
Should the
closer.
Patriots and their fans be worried that LT is now a Jet?
No. You should be happy.
Patriots should not be worried.
Andy and I tried to get into this, but you refused to talk about football.
No, now it's time.
There's
a certain pace, and now it's time.
This was an example of a team making a bad move. This is actually a good thing for the Patriots.
And why?
Well, first of all, LT's done. But even if he weren't done, he is not content to play second banana.
Well, maybe he is now.
Contrary to what he's been professing.
He's shopping his services around the league looking for the best opportunity in his mind.
And I have a theory to show that he still thinks he's first banana ego boy. He signed for, I believe, exactly $100,000 more than Thomas Jones.
I mean, on paper.
I don't think that's an accident.
On paper, 2 years, $5.1 million. Thomas Jones got 2 years, $5
I think
million.
He made his agent and the Jets go $100,000. So it looks like I'm the one they wanted. They paid me a little bit more money. I think he is all about that. He's all about LT. He may say
There's
I want
no
to
doubt
win.
About that.
Who's his agent?
I don't know. But the point is, I think that...
Is that relevant here?
One thing I'll say, a lot of people, especially Patriots fans, sort of smirked and mocked the Jets when they had to let go of Thomas Jones, saying, see, you can't just sign everybody. And I kind of laughed at that, saying it had nothing to do with money. They just decided to move on from Thomas Jones. Now, I'll make the argument that they made the wrong move. But clearly, it had nothing to do with money.
Right,
because they went out and signed. Now, in my opinion, they went out and signed an inferior player for very similar money than they would have had. I think it was like three and change of a bonus that they owed Thomas Jones. I would have just given them that if they were looking for that. I thought they were kind of wanting to make Sean Green the guy.
But you don't
and just have like a younger guy
you
sort of backing him up. They clearly wanted a veteran presence.
If LT is willing to do it, don't you think in a third down role, LT could still be effective?
He's not going to be the third down back. Leon Washington will be.
Yeah. And no, because I don't think he has that explosive burst that you're looking for.
They've created their own version of Sammy Morris, Fred Taylor,
they get a little
Lawrence
committee.
Maroney, Kevin Falk.
Now, the only thing we don't know is Thomas Jones' feeling on being a number two. Now, he may have made it clear at the end of last season,
right.
If this is what you're doing, if Sean Green's the show, then I got to go. I don't want to be
point,
this.
Great point, Andy. And there was one thing. I've been reading a
He's
lot of
be
places.
He's going to be the guy in Kansas City.
I've been reading in a lot of places that he was a great locker room presence. Well, I'm not sure that that's accurate.
LT?
No,
Jones.
Thomas Jones.
Oh,
and he was outspokenly anti-Favre,
right.
Which I don't care if you're right or wrong. That doesn't make you a great locker room presence.
Keep it to yourself when you're on the team.
And it's also easier to be a great locker room guy or whatever
when you're
getting your 1,400 yards.
Right, and they know if they – listen, the playoffs last year, no one's going to outspokenly talk. Sean Green took the mantle from Thomas Jones.
Right.
The coaches might know. He didn't like it.
That's
now,
what
Thomas
I mean,
Jones,
and we don't
to his
know that.
Credit, didn't say anything publicly in the middle of a playoff run. But what will he say in the middle of August?
Right.
That's why I'm not so sure
that
was just
they also
a talent, you know, a talent
Rex
evaluation.
Ryan fell in love with LT. Did you hear the thing? Like the first thing when he woke up from his surgery, the first thing he said is, did we get LT yet?
Come on.
I would have been saying, thank God I woke up.
All right, breaking news. We do have the 2000
really? This is breaking.
All-decade team here. And like Paul said, there's not any big surprises. Offensive tackle on the right side, Nick Kazier. That's kind of by default. Then, of course, Matt Light opposite. Joe Andruzzi is one of the guards, and Logan Mankins. I would imagine Andruzzi and Neal were
tight. That was one of the few debates. I picked Neal. A lot of people thought Andruzzi, for what he did off the field, sort of symbolizing the patriotic 9/11, post-9/11 situation.
Yeah.
To me, I try to keep it to what happens on the field. But that's just me.
Center Dan Copen, tight end Daniel Graham, over Ben Watson.
Yeah, no one even gave Ben Watson consideration on that, I got to tell you.
Wow.
Including Ernie Adams.
Because while the two of them were here, I think it was very close as to who was better.
No. See, I don't think a lot of people felt that way.
Really?
I think the blocking that Daniel Graham had was so light years better than anybody else they had at the position. And receiving, really, they were both disappointments. So
they're the same guy.
It was
athletic.
Really, I got to tell you, that one didn't really even elicit much discussion.
The three wide receivers, this is a three wide receiver.
That was
team.
The one amendment we made. Rather than going two wide receivers, two running backs, which we really don't play any fullbacks, we haven't this whole decade, we went with three receivers and one running back.
So Randy Moss, Wes Welker, and
Troy Brown.
Bingo!
Now, there was some talk about Deion Branch
in
this one. I don't think it really got very serious, but there was an argument to be made for Deion Branch.
Yeah, a little surprise at quarterback Matt Cassel.
You know, I got to tell you.
Tom Brady.
the reality hit me in doing this.
Yeah.
Someone said, I got to go Cassel here, you know, for the typical ha ha.
Right, right.
And I was like, wow, you know what? Drew's three. Drew's third in this decade. If you go by just this decade, Drew's third.
Running back.
That hurt.
What do you think? You know, Paul.
I don't know who won.
Well, I do.
Kevin Faulk.
Kevin Faulk.
I picked Kevin Faulk.
Corey Dillon.
Yeah, I had a feeling I was going to lose that.
I got the running back. And I think that's
and I'll tell you why. We'll get to the end, and I'll give you another philosophical difference I have
What's
with
that?
The committee.
You think that's justified?
I can make an argument for it, yeah.
One great year trumps a decade.
Then as far as the...
I know you're being sarcastic, but that's basically the rationale that they used.
No, I know.
There was a lot of talk about, if, you know, you're not going to line up in first and 10 with Kevin Faulk on the field, to which Ernie Adams accurately said, and you're not going to line up third and 8 with Corey Dillon on the field, so what's the point?
To which Andy accurately said, this team doesn't actually play games. It's on paper.
So you reached the point in that discussion where both
Everybody
people
said, right.
This is the opposite...
That was
the Scott Pioli thing. You actually are just picking talent, not trying to build a team.
This was the only thing that bothered me, that running back situation.
Defense, the line.
Wait a minute. How come Joe Andruzzi's good guy got him on the team and Kevin Faulk's good guy has him on the sideline while
I'll get to why it bothered you. We haven't reached it yet. We'll get to it later.
Defense, Seymour, Warren, Will Fork is your defensive line in the three.
That elicited absolutely zero discussion, by the way.
Or should it?
Four linebackers. Anyone want to take a stab at it?
McGinnis and Vrabel outside. Brewski and either Pfeiffer Johnson inside.
Oh, Vrabel and Johnson.
Derek Burgess not on this team?
Johnson did not make it.
Oh.
Brewski and Pfeiffer on the inside.
I'm upset with that,
McGinnis
too.
And Vrabel on the outside.
I lied. I have two things I'm upset about.
Cornerbacks are pretty easy.
Samuel Law.
Right?
You had nothing ready there?
And the safeties are pretty easy, I would say.
Sanders and Harrison.
Malloy and Harrison.
Malloy and
For
Harrison.
Most people, they're pretty easy. Yes. Lawyer Malloy and Rodney Harrison. Hey, lawyer. kicker, Adam Vinatieri. Punter. Anyone?
Josh
Miller. None.
None, says Paul.
Josh. No, that was Hindi.
Josh Miller.
These headphones, I don't know where the sound's
from. Oh, so you're saying the headphones suck.
I didn't know who said that.
I like how he's wearing them, too, with the headband part.
And they're clearly designed.
Neck.
They're elongated so that they fit up and down on your ear. And
exactly.
He has them going the wrong way.
Josh Miller is the punter. And the return.
Doesn't want to mess up his hair.
Kevin Faulk.
Kevin Faulk.
Oops. Yeah,
here's where I'm upset.
Too late.
Okay, now.
The whole running back thing.
What's the second page for? You already
special
gave
team.
Special
player.
Team or Larry Izzo.
Larry Izzo and the
Izzo
head coach, Bill Belichick.
There's only one to choose.
Coach. All right, so.
Who was the offensive coordinator?
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick. The problem I had with the whole running back returner thing is we talked about running back at the time, and there was an argument to be made for Dillon. And I'm not saying Dillon.
How did Geno not get on this list? I thought we had to have Geno on the list.
He's well,
the
captain. Whoa. Playing the role of Geno, Fred, this year was Kevin Faulk.
Right.
Can we really have this team without Kevin Faulk on it? To which I said, if you don't pick him for running back, then you didn't think he should be on the team. But anyway, we get down. There was an argument to be made for Dillon. Personally, I liked Antoine Smith over Dillon. And then when I found out I could only have one running back, it was a no-brainer for me, Kevin Faulk. Because I think running back is not just running the football on first down. I mean, running back is all the things that running backs do. But anyway, as Andy said, one great year trumped a whole decade.
I think that with the way that both defenses and offenses are, you know, variable nowadays, you should have 12-man teams when you do things like this.
I don't.
So that you can have the extra receiver or running back, and you can have the extra defensive back.
See, I don't. I think that cheapens the process.
And you're going down the slippery slope of
that
the
we
NFL
did for the
team
all decade
team
it,
with 53 guys.
But it doesn't really
guys
cheapen the process, Paul, because nowadays, just because you started on first down doesn't mean you know, you're better. You're.
But they very rarely play with two running backs on the field at the same time. I don't care what down it is.
No, but they bring a guy in. They, you know.
They bring a different guy in, but there's only one running back. There's always three receivers in the field.
But sometimes
so
you have,
I can understand
sometimes
that.
You have two running backs on the field.
Yeah, very infrequently.
And sometimes you have five defensive backs instead
it
of
It just means
four.
You don't have a great player at some position.
Well,
that's all it means.
Right, and that's...
Because there'd be no debate. It'd be LT for the Chargers.
Like we,
they don't need their third down back and their first down back.
There was some dissension as to whether or not we should add the third receiver. And the arguments to be made were the ones I just said. Well, they predominantly play with three receivers right. in the field.
That's a legitimate
and of
argument.
Of course, Ron Borges, the... king of obstinance says, "Well, what, you know, why don't we just have three running backs?" And I said,
"No, well, lines up. You
never have three running backs on the field, Ron." He kind of snapped at me.
And, if we were doing Georgia Tech, potentially we could because they're on the bone.
But, you know, and then I said, "You know,
team of the 1900s.
You could make the argument. Would you be
football should be played?
Would you be looking to amend the positions if you didn't have a great candidate? That you, I mean, obviously." People, I think, wanted to take Moss and Welker.
Right.
And they were looking for a way to get Troy Brown on. For example, if there was any way that you had three tackles, we didn't even have two. So would anybody be looking to say, let's get three on there? No. Right. But that's part of it. When you have a legitimate loophole to go through, they always play with three receivers. And, oh, by the way, we have three very worthy candidates to make the team. I think it makes sense. But I don't think it makes sense to add a guy and make it 12 players.
No.
But the whole Kevin Faulk thing, it didn't sit well with me at all. I think it was either running back, and then I picked Ellis Hobbs for my returner. I don't even think it was close. He was a much better returner. They all picked Kevin Faulk basically because they wanted to take Corey Dillon as the running back, and they wanted Faulk on the team, A. And B, they said Faulk returned both punts and kicks.
Well,
I don't think he really did either one of them very well.
I actually don't even think he's second. I think Bethel Johnson
is
second.
He was very, very average at both.
But he was the most consistent over the 10 years.
He did it the most often.
Right.
But he wasn't very good at it.
He was the guy when somebody else was screwing up, put
right,
Kevin
right,
back there.
To make sure that he catches the ball.
Right.
Great. He offered you very little in the way of big playability that the other guys, and kicks. Forget about it. In kicks, I think they had three guys that were better.
But I just think that
put Maroney.
I think
in
today's NFL,
Ellis Hobbs,
I can
Maroney.
Make the case for the third down back being a position, and that nickelback being a position.
Well, I don't want that.
You know,
nah.
No, that's fair. I can make the case.
Well, Bill is
but it was
said
a lot of fun
in,
to pick that. So.
In his press conferences, sometimes Bill acknowledges that the nickel corner is basically your 12th starter on defense.
Right. It's a position.
So it's
you need a guy that can do that.
But if it goes that way, then you'll have three corners on the team in of the
right.
the whatever the next decade
yep.
is, the
yep.
teens.
Yep.
And I had a problem with the linebacker because as we were deciding between Ted Johnson and Roman Pfeiffer, both, by the way, who I think are very worthy candidates, love both guys, people said, oh, and by the way, Ted Johnson was a linebacker, an inside linebacker on the all-decade team for the 90s.
Yeah.
So I said, so?
Well, that was a
discouraging
trait?
Yeah,
someone
so
else?
Let's put Pfeiffer on. That'll break your tie. Like, this whole thing about this quid pro quo almost, you know, you take care of my guy, I'll take care of you. Are we picking a team?
Let me tell you something.
It really bothered me. That's why I'm resigning.
You're getting a little insight into the Football Hall of Fame because – this stuff goes on there, too.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know?
Sure. I don't know. Yeah, and I'm going to see what happens with this Hall of Fame nomination stuff this time because I don't really know if I want to – I just get too annoyed by it.
Yeah.
Paul's going to snap one of these days and say something that gets PFW taken off the –
Well, listen, that thought has crossed my mind more than once, and there's people in there that could do that.
Right.
You know, Ernie Adams is down there, and I don't want to say something stupid in front of football people. You know, because Ernie Adams is a guy I really respect.
Well, don't say things stupid.
Well, it's hard for me not to say things stupid. You've been listening to this show for 10 years.
Let's see. Iggy writes in. Haven't heard from Iggy in a while.
This is our second email of the show.
From Madrid. Loy Baranza.
Only Chris was
Amigo con grande cabeza.
Mr. Kirsch, Mr. Perillo, Mr. Hart, and Eric.
You're on a first-name basis.
Yeah, Mr. is in you're on a first-name basis. I don't know if that's good or bad.
I don't know either.
I
never actually met Iggy, though, so maybe he feels, you know.
I've been following closely the Pats this offseason, and it seems they are ready to pay big money to Tom Brady, as they have just done with Wilfort. I think they need to, because Tom now has two kids, and he's married to a supermodel that is making more money than he is. In consequence, I believe that to make his ego happy, he's going to ask for a lot of money in order to catch up with Giselle. If you also add to the cocktail – the huge contract that Peyton Manning is going to sign and the fact that this is probably his last payday, I believe he will not be satisfied with less than a $100 million contract with at least $40 million in guaranteed. Do you agree?
Yes.
It's going to be up there.
I think it'll be his last contract.
When do you cross the line from you got a couple kids to
you have three kids with three mothers in three states?
Now, when
he's got two kids with two mothers in two states.
When Bledsoe,
when do you cross over?
When Bledsoe,
I think when you have kids that you're not with any of the mothers.
Right, when you don't know
like
their
names. If he was not with either
mother. If he was single or with some other woman.
I think he'd be one of those guys.
So two would be enough if he wasn't married to Giselle.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. This is a mildly serious question I'm asking.
And I gave you a mildly serious answer.
Now, when Bledsoe signed that last contract that he never saw.
I hope not, because you're failing miserably.
The light of day before he got traded over to Buffalo. That was a $100 million contract.
You were
horrible. How much guarantees did that have?
Not very much, otherwise he wouldn't have gotten traded so easily.
So
it still owes Kathleen Whiteside $20 for parking.
From what?
The day of the signing on his $100 million contract. He had to borrow $20 for something.
Oh, my God.
She never saw it again. Imagine that. Guy signs a $100 million deal, borrows $20, and doesn't pay you back.
He should be giving back that with interest.
Drew, not a good guy.
That's just poor to me.
Let's see.
Bad guy.
Robin from Alaska has an email about the 9/11 lawsuit that we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
From what I understand, many workers and safety officials were not given proper gear to lower or thwart the dangers of breathing that toxic cloud as they did their jobs, despite the government knowing what the buildings were made with. The workers had a job to do and they did it, but they didn't have everything they needed to be successful and safe at the fault of their superiors' inability to pull the resources together at the time, nor to have planned to pool for the resources needed during a catastrophe beforehand. We've seen this problem with the government's disaster response organizations on multiple levels during and since 9/11. As such, I think they deserve some form of compensation. Also, some of the cause of this lawsuit is because while the government created an insurance policy for these workers, the company is denying just about everyone any help. I think the stat is 10,000 plus applications and only 6 approvals. Seriously. As for the reporters on the scene, I think they have cases to be made as well, but against their own employers, not the government. And I'd assume that the reporters would need to prove their employers were aware of the dangers and still didn't provide the gear that was needed. But I'm not a lawyer. Like many Americans, I have strong opinions formed with as little education in the matter as possible.
Yes, that's why you fit in so well on this show.
PFW in Progress Hall of Famer.
But I guess, you know, there's probably facts that we're not aware of, like, you know.
I understand that, but to me you have to prove that it was intentional on the government's part to not give you something that they could. Because otherwise, I'm sorry, but I don't care. Your job is to respond to an emergency when needed. If the guy's drowning, you don't say, I need to wait for an extra life vest. You try and dive in to save the guy. So you have to prove to me that their superiors had like 6,000 gas masks in their back pocket and said, you know what, I'm not giving you these. Just go in there on your own. There has to be malicious intent there by a superior, not just the poop hit the fan and everybody was scrambling.
So maybe there is. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it was malicious, but maybe it was negligence.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to believe it.
I don't know.
I'm like Robin. I like to form my opinions with as little facts as possible.
You know, that's why you have the courts to see if it's frivolous or not.
And, well,
you know,
I don't always side with the courts, though. There's been a lot of money paid out in lawsuits in this country
that's
I don't think are appropriate.
Let's see. Susan writes in. This is in response to the health care for players. She says, these guys know what they're putting their bodies through hell when they play, so I don't feel they should be entitled to lifelong health care. Let them pay for it. They made the money. Tell them to plan ahead and prepare to pay for it. I work hard to get what I have, and the average person does as well. So why do they feel they should be entitled?
I agree.
I think I probably agree with that.
I mean, so. I could see, you know, if the players union really wants to help them out, then have them take something out of their paycheck that goes towards a pool that helps them after they're retired.
Yeah. I
do understand the player side of that. You know, they have more need for it than average Joe, but they also have more money.
They have a lot more money than average Joe. It's like I hear Steve DiAsi on EEI joking, like, the player's pension is a joke.
Well, you have a pension.
You have a pension, period.
Most people don't have a pension.
Right. Exactly. Pensions are gone.
Right.
And that used to be the way. You don't
As
get
they should
anymore.
Be. Right. I think they should be gone on all levels. I don't, you know, all these cops and everything, that's what they fight for. They should fight for them because they're great, but I think they should be gone.
Well, I think there is something to be said about spending your entire career with one company and then retiring and getting something. But that doesn't happen
anymore. That doesn't happen anymore.
You have to do that on your own with your 401k.
Right.
Yeah. I wonder how many of the players realize that in the real world, they're not going to get that kind of stuff they're getting here.
Not many.
Yeah, probably
it's
not.
It's unbelievable. It really is. You know?
And then the responsible ones are the ones that don't even need to be responsible, like Ty Warren.
Yeah.
He's got $18 million. If he wants to, he can retire, just live off the $18 million if he's in any way intelligent. But he's the one who's going back to school preparing for life after football. Whereas, you know who needs to be preparing for life after football? Matthew Slater and Kyle Arrington and these guys that get
Andy
3 years
of... Paul Perillo.
Yeah. I'm sure there is life after football, Paul. Be here till I'm dead.
Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. They were just showing on NFL Network the goal line stand game against the Colts.
Yeah, it's 31-31 with about 10 minutes to go.
Paul, I just want to point out, you felt pretty good with just under 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. Up 31-10.
2 minutes left in the third quarter when they scored.
2 minutes later, when it was 31-21, you have to have felt equally as bad, I would think, because now they've closed the margin and still have a full quarter to get the rest of the way.
Yeah, it's it was 31-10 with less than 2 minutes left in the third quarter, and with over 10 minutes left in the game, they had already tied it. Three touchdowns, went from 31-10, 17-24-31.
Now you know why he didn't punt. There's a long-running history there of this guy, when he gets the ball against us, scores.
Got a long memory.
Very rare as it may be, Brady threw consecutive interceptions in this game to allow the Colts to get back in the game in a hurry.
Is it really rare?
Yeah. He didn't throw a lot of interceptions.
I don't know. When it's crunch time, he seems to throw picks in the middle of the field.
Unbelievable. Oh, wow. This guy.
Have you seen his last nine playoff performances?
Fred, what is we need stat? To rid this locker room.
The next time he says, bad. I'm trying to run him out of town.
We need to get the bad seeds.
Save that tape, will you?
We need to get the bad seeds out of this locker room. Right. Andy Hart's a bad seed.
In serious note.
Oh, you weren't serious?
To the Earth Day or whatever day
what
that is.
What does he say all the time? Little bit of truth and all these little sarcastic
He's got to cut his hair. We all know I didn't think J.T. O'Sullivan would ever win in this league because you don't win if you have ridiculously long hair.
Wait, he hasn't cut his hair
Tom
since
Brady
the season ended?
Has
saw that
way too long
thing.
Hair
I haven't
right
seen
now.
It yet. No,
he's,
I haven't.
Let it go.
You don't win with long hair
looks
in this
like
league.
Captain Caveman.
Cut your hair, son.
Wow.
Son. Which, by the way, back in this 2003 game is when he was in that blonde highlight phase. It looks ridiculous on the sideline.
He goes through phases. That's what happens, though, when you're fashionable, because you change with the trend.
Right.
So 2 years later, you look ridiculous.
Right.
If you're like me and have the same pants since high school, you're fine. You always look the same.
Right. Soggy pants.
Ridiculous. Always.
Right.
I was thinking about the draft shows. And,
where are you now?
And I have come to the conclusion that we should have a show each day of the draft, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Fans
so
will
we'll
be happy to hear
about that schedule.
I would agree with that.
He's also come up with a cover idea, staying power.
You know, maybe like, I think 2 hours on Thursday, 2 hours on Friday, and 3 hours on Saturday. What do you think?
I was with you the first
why are we doing so long on the last day?
Yeah.
Well, because it's all so much to talk about, no?
Is really? There really?
Maybe two
Patriots
and two?
Patriots take Julian Edelman. Who's Julian Edelman?
If you're looking to do 7 hours, why not 2-3-2?
2-3-2?
It's like a big airplane.
It's like an NBA final series.
3-4-3.
We'll have to work
it out. Just remember that the two on Thursday are an addition to the two at noon.
As far as you know.
What?
No.
That's not happening.
We're not going to do a regular show on Thursday?
No.
It would be during the draft.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't forget, we're going to run out of gas on that third day.
Right.
So the shorter the show, the
right,
better.
If they have tacos
available in the press box.
And I'm doing this because of the overwhelming emails that we've received. That
and
we
I
have
agree
to
with
do
the emailers, by the way.
So what they need to do for us is they need to spread the word. We need to break all records for listenership on those days. So
everyone who logs in must bring a friend with them.
Right. Tweet it out. More than one friend. Tweet it out.
Make it a menage.
Put it on your Facebook.
It's three, Paul.
Email your friends.
Trey Bien.
We need to break listenership records on those shows.
Can we get the team to help us out?
No.
The NFL going to put out a release saying that this was
no,
the most
I just
listened
to
can
they
podcast
like trade for Julius Peppers like they traded for Randy Moss? Because
you know,
that kind of helped.
This is the 75th anniversary of PFW in Progress, so we need to really... Oh, no, it's the draft is the 75th anniversary. Okay.
As an aside on this goal line stand game.
Tom Ashworth!
The kick return that Bethel Johnson had at the end of the first half, because the Colts scored to make it 24-10, or 17-10, I think it was, at the end of the first half. 12 seconds left, they kicked off. That is the sickest return ever. He looks like he has no... I knew he was taking it to the house when I watched it last night.
Yeah.
And it still didn't look like he was going to have any chance. And he cuts up the sideline. Remember, he cut all the way across the field and just dusted everybody.
Yeah.
It was an amazing kickoff return.
You know, Bethel Johnson is another one of those guys all upstairs.
No.
Oh, I think
so. I'm not so sure.
Couldn't catch the ball.
Yeah.
No,
his talent was all downstairs. He could run like the wind.
But
that's it.
His problem was he didn't like to be told
what to do. For some reason, when guys don't catch the ball well, it's not perceived to be a lack of talent.
Right.
It's perceived to be a mental thing. That's talent.
No, he had a mental problem, Bethel.
Well, I believe
think
he did. But the only positive
he also had
were the legs.
He had physical problems. He wasn't that good of a wide receiver. He was a great athlete.
Phil from Alpharetta, Georgia, which is just north of Atlanta. Everyone agrees.
Near Milledgeville?
Everyone agrees that we need playmakers. Last year's offense struggled to close out games against good teams. Wes Welker is out for at least part of the year. Who knows how effective he'll be when he gets back? With Welker out and Moss a year older, the offense might really struggle this year. Our track record at taking receivers, Chad Jackson, Bethel Johnson, is not good. This draft is very deep in many areas, but not for receivers. Even if we get lucky and select the right receiver, it is unlikely that he would have an impact as a rookie. Percy Harvin is the exception. Even good receivers take a while to learn the position. I think this all adds up to a clear need for a proven big-time receiver. Brandon Marshall is by far the most talented guy available. I know that he has a bad track record on and off the field, but he is an undeniable talent. If you put him opposite the field from Moss, the offense could be very special. I think he is worth the risk in terms of a draft pick and money. How much of a malcontent can he be if he is getting paid while making big plays on a winning team? If the offense stinks and the team loses, how great of a clubhouse would it be anyway? If Moss is prevented from making plays by constant double teams, he might revert back to his old troublemaking persona. I think the risk is worth it. Brady is looking fragile. We need to win now.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. These people are so desperate to win a game that they're willing to bring criminal off the street to play football.
I'm also not willing to say that he's by far the most talented option. I mean, is he by far more talented than Vincent Jackson? Or Miles Austin? I mean, is it not even a discussion?
I think Jackson, there could be a discussion. I'm not a big Miles Austin fan.
I'm just saying some other guys that have caught
David
a lot of...
with a little bit more speed.
I'm just talking about guys that have been productive. I think Brandon Marshall is a great player. I do.
He is.
I don't think that he's head and shoulders above the rest of those guys. I think he's a guy who's always caught a lot of passes, by the way, and really not always made a ton of big plays.
And I think your argument was even stronger when Bolden was still on the market because...
Well...
Yeah, he's certainly a better option.
I think Brandon
Marshall. And who did they make the offer to?
Ocho Cinco.
Allegedly.
And I think Brandon Marshall also is a guy that loses points for all the stuff that he does.
Well, yeah.
Plus, you have to pay him a lot of money, give up draft picks.
So that doesn't make him head and shoulders the best option available.
And your little Moss argument, if Moss reverts to his old ways, he's gone at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
If Brandon Marshall reverts to his old ways, you have 4 years and $40 million left or whatever it is.
By the way,
and then you have two receivers who could potentially want to give
up
in the middle of the season.
I have no problem, by the way, with drafting a wide receiver. And this whole thing about, well, they take a long time to develop, it's all about picking the right guys.
Right.
If you hit, the guy's going to hit. You know, there's plenty of wide receivers that...
Every year there are elite rookie receivers. Every single year.
And there's always a lot of receivers chosen.
Yeah, not that many, but...
Do you know what I'm saying? There's always a lot of receivers chosen high. So some of them are going to take more time to develop than others, and that's why I think that reputation of, you can't have a receiver because it takes a long time. There's plenty of receivers, like Andy says, that hit right away.
Terry Glenn was one of them.
Yeah, rookie of the year.
Anquan Bolden. Bolden was another one. Marquise Colston.
Phil also says, please try to make this week's show especially entertaining as I will be listening on my iPod while I run the Atlanta Marathon this Sunday. I was on chemo most of last year, and my goal was to run this race. I'm relying on this week's show to keep me going Sunday. Wow.
Chemo?
Congratulations on getting
over
that.
About yourself.
I hope you did.
Guy who has cancer can run a marathon.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I run 2 miles and my knee hurts for 3 days.
I got a bad wheel. I can't run marathons.
That's the only reason.
Yeah, that's keeping you back.
Yeah. Poor Paul. He's walking around like he's 80.
He is.
You know the Dr. Oz
what
clock?
What the hell's going on?
He's at least
what
65.
The hell are you guys?
It's really
up
unbelievable.
To now.
What's his name again, Fred?
Who's that?
Eddie Mac?
Paul, no. Who's his lookalike? The guy who does the car commercials.
Oh, will you stop it? That's so ridiculous.
Ernie Bach Jr.?
No. He's ridiculous, too.
Come on down.
Get a haircut.
By the way,
he's another one that he's
I guess his sister or something is building a house in my town. Oh, my God. They just finished the garage, and it's bigger than most houses. It's unbelievable.
How does it compare to your manse?
Yeah. You could fit my house inside
in the garage.
The garage.
I'm sure they earned it, too. They didn't, you know, start on third base or anything.
TG and NJ, I think.
Genetic lottery.
I think the new headphones are having an adverse effect on Andy. He seems more edgy than usual today.
How do you tell?
It's a good point.
I don't think he's any more edgy than
Who
he
Who the hell sent
been.
That email?
He's been edgy. Well,
what do you mean by that?
The headphones are actually a little tight for me, so
yeah.
They must be.
Look at how. You notice must how really spread out they are? Yeah,
you
true.
Don't have a small head. That's
like
the one thing I've never understood. You have a big head, too.
Not as big as you.
Just because you're more compact and your body is rounder.
What happened?
You have a round ball on top of a round ball.
See, you have very
your
narrow,
whole body is a round ball, like a snowman.
Shoulders. He's not any more edgy today, though.
You have very narrow shoulders, so it makes
you don't have a narrow down. Anything.
You know, I have broad shoulders. You have very narrow shoulders.
Is this
so
where
he starts?
Broad mean fat.
Is this where Fred starts flexing?
Right. Where he's going to jump up
his
and down
and make
around.
His boobs flex?
You know, and they are boobs. See, don't mistake it.
You know, you have to take supplements to make your shoulders bigger.
No, see, that's where you're wrong. You're the one who dabbles in all these fish oils and juices and Mr. Push-Up. I don't do any of that.
Oh,
I go
Mr.
to the gym.
Mr. Push-Up.
I do a little workout, and then I jog.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
the gimmick
oh, okay.
guy. You're Mr. Diet and Workout oh, Warrior.
Okay.
You yeah. just do each
comes,
one of them for a week.
With his protein shake.
No, I haven't. Haven't had a protein shake in years.
In years, right.
Years.
Right.
Did you know Rodney Harrison was the first player to ever admit to taking HGH in the major sports or whatever?
Really?
At least according to ESPN, the magazine. There was an article about a guy who wants to legalize it because that would do away with the problem if you just legalize it.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
also
that's
one of those
everybody's solution to
also one of those believers
kind of
that it doesn't yeah. do anything. It doesn't. It's not, it shouldn't be called a performance enhancer because it in no way enhances performance.
Oh, baloney!
Yeah,
I said the same thing about steroids too.
Yeah,
if it doesn't enhance performance, why do it?
Why is it? Yeah,
he,
exactly.
His theory is because it's they're so ill-informed. That the image is, it enhances performance, and they hear whispers about it. And why would they ban it if it didn't help? They ban it because it helps people, so I'll take it. That's like the argument, the gist of this argument.
But my point is, why do you want to legalize it and have every player do it if it doesn't
no,
help?
No, he thinks they won't because they'll be
he's
more
out
educated.
Of his mind.
It'll pull
yeah,
down the like the
ridiculous.
Curtain and make
no,
it more.
No, I'm not
out.
Saying, oh, listen,
ridiculous.
I don't
no.
know.
It is ridiculous.
And I know we've had many, matter of fact, on our show when we had the Rodney thing, we've had doctors write
right.
in about there's it's safe. It's mm-hmm. a safe thing to do, and it may be. I don't. I'm
supervision.
Not right. Yeah. The whole HGH, but I find it awfully difficult to stomach the argument that it doesn't help a player in any way, whether it's help recuperating from injuries faster,
right?
Whatever. I mean, it's human growth hormone.
Right. The reason why you recuperate
at the very least,
is, yeah.
it's helping you build muscle.
Right.
At the very
and
least,
if, and if you're able to perform for the remaining 8 games instead of the remaining 5, that's enhanced your performance.
Or you come back, if you're Wes Welker and you come back in week 4 instead of week 6.
Exactly.
That enhanced your performance for that season, those 2 weeks, your
that's
team,
my
that
point.
Whole thing.
Right.
Right. So.
And that's what people also don't understand. The process of building muscle is tearing and rebuilding, mm-hmm. tearing and rebuilding gains. HGH helps in that recovery process.
Right.
So
it so inherently
you can stack
helps
workouts
you,
right? on top of
right.
each other, right? Isn't that
does.
What the whole thing with steroids
right.
is?
And that's why with steroids and, HGH, the steroids is fueling the growth while the HGH is fueling the recovery. So now you're combining those two things into your workouts. You're working out longer, harder, stronger, quicker, more repetitive.
Andy Hart, mad.
From experience,
well, I just think it's idiotic. These guys on high horses. It's like when Eric talks about Sam Bradford. It's great from your high horse. Come down to reality.
What, that I was right that he stayed in school and is going to get the big contract after all?
Well, you oh, lucked out okay. in this one because
well, that one you end up gonna,
a dearth
end up
of talent at the quarterback position has allowed him to slide
you
in
end
there.
Up winning on that one, but tell that to Taylor Mays.
He's also damaged goods. Yeah, Taylor Mays, the 26th pick
from a
pick
top
in the draft.
5 pick to maybe a first rounder.
Yeah, he might not be that good, though, after
and
all.
And Fred has Myron Roll
right,
going
he was
going to
be
Taylor
a top
Mays.
5 pick Smart and not guy. Be that good overall.
Yeah, you don't
want
to be proven a fool before you have the money. You want them to find out you're a fool when
sure.
you get the money.
Sure.
Sure.
TG also says, guys who are... Who are the best-rated tight ends in the draft? Do you see the Pats going after any of them?
Yep. Yes.
Are any good enough
that the Pats might trade up to make sure that they get the player they want.
I wouldn't do that.
They will not trade up. They will select Jimmy Graham. That's who I'm saying they take. Bill wants a power forward. He gets a power forward.
Yeah, I could see that.
Miami basketball player, 1 year of football. Big, tall, athletic.
I could see that.
Can he play? I don't know. Nor does Bill. That's why he has to keep track of tight ends.
Nate Byam is another name to keep track of. Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm not into blocking tight ends. I want a guy who can catch the ball.
They'll teach him.
I like what they've been doing. At least if you draft a guy to catch it.
He'll learn hands at the NFL level.
If he can't catch it, you make him a blocker. If a guy you draft as a blocker can't block, then he's out of the league.
But the scouts told him that he was already head and shoulders a better blocker than all the other tight ends that they've seen.
I can always find a blocking tight end. They're called tackles. They're called fullbacks. They're called bad pass-catching tight ends.
I'm not saying that
that's...
What do
we need a blocking tight end for? So Lawrence Murray can dance behind him for 5 minutes?
I'm not saying that that's who I would pick if I were making the choice. I'm saying that's who I'm thinking the Patriots would
pick. Don't we need an
option
in the passing game?
Sure we do.
Thank you.
He just doesn't listen.
I know.
He just doesn't listen.
I'm running with... You know, people think I'm on edge today. I'm going to run with it.
Are you injecting sugar directly into your body
right
now?
Those Butter Crunch cookies appear to have more sugar in them. than <you. laughs> They're good, too, though.
We're going to have him wear one of those helmets that those kids, you know, to protect himself from running into the wall or something.
I had a bad experience with that. I think I told you guys. Whitewater rafting when I had to get a special helmet because none of the helmets would fit me. There was like 6 boats on the tour, and they all called me Corky the rest of the day.
He had to put a milk crate on his head.
It was not fun.
Rasmus from Denmark says, "Hey guys, and
he knows his HGH.
I would love to hear who you guys like for the Patriots in the first 2 rounds of the draft. There's a lot of talent in the draft, and the Pats really need an influx of talent. Personally, I would like to go draft something like this at 22, Sergio Kindle, then Brandon Spikes." To the Chicago Bears for Greg Olsen, 47,
Gotcha.
And then 53, Lamar Houston.
Yeah.
Defensive end from Texas.
Yeah.
I'm all for the Texas thing just because he's going big on defense.
Big on defense.
Well, yeah,
you think?
Yeah.
Except for Olsen. Yeah.
Right. Got to find a way to get a receiver, and more than Greg Olsen.
You got David Patton.
Also,
gotta find a way to get a receiver.
Just after Moss's comments about how the Patriots don't play pay their players. Something in my eyes.
He closed both. Opened one, closed one. What are you doing?
I thought he was actually winking at you.
Is that hair, John?
I don't know. I think I got Greek salad dressing in my eyes.
It's now sweating out of his pores.
Is that hair gel?
Just after Moss's comments about how the Patriots don't pay their players, they spend a crap load of money. Why don't Belichick and Caserio extend Moss in, let's say, 4 years and pay him
Moss?
Most or
you want to give Moss
4 years?
Have him at an affordable rate the following 3 seasons? Or would that be in violation of the 30% salary rule? Technically, it's not salary. It's a bonus.
It'd be a violation of reason.
It's all salary, though.
Because there's a difference between salary and paragraph 5 salary.
Even if he was 29, it would still be salary that you're looking at going forward. But what sense would it make to give Randy Moss a 4-year extension?
None.
At this stage?
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense if you're Randy Moss.
Is he 33?
Right? I mean, if you're Moss. Sure. 4 years,
right.
I'll take it.
Right. And guaranteed health insurance for life?
Straight cash,
sure,
homie.
I think the best you can hope for,
hey, well done.
if you're huge on Randy Moss, would be he has a solid year this year, and maybe you give him a 1-year extension or maybe, you know, one of those fake 2-year deals where the money's all in the year one and they can part ways after the first year if they want to. But I don't see any chance at all they give him a long-term extension.
No.
Nor should they.
You've got to start looking to the future at that wide receiver spot.
Plus, if we're going to be doing extensions,
the immediate future.
Mankins and Brady still are atop the list. Those are 2 younger all-pros that I'd like to build around.
Well, Brady, they got to work Brady out here.
I'm not worried about it.
I didn't say I'm worried about it. I said they have to get that one worked out.
I'm worried if Fred leads negotiations because... He puts a take it or leave it on the table, and
Fred says, "Listen, we're willing to give you $6 million up front. Take it or leave it."
Hell no.
And I promise to turn my lights off.
Hell no.
Then they'll come into Fred and Paul's office and say, "Do you believe the money that Brady got?"
Fred goes in and says, "Listen, Tom, do you really need all that money? I mean, look at all the money your wife makes.
Hell no.
Come on, how much is enough?"
I don't know.
Fat Pat says, y'all really make HGH sound good. I gotta get me some.
You should. It's too bad it's expensive.
Andy's dabbled.
Yes.
It's like $1,000 a week or something.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Wow. Is that more than when you had to get it?
Yep. It's gone up since then. Its popularity has risen as pro athletes like Rodney Harrison have taken it.
Andrew writes in, it appears that Greater New England believes that the Jets are the front runner in the division. Let's review their offseason moves. One, signed a cornerback with an incredibly high illegitimate children to interception ratio. Oh, two, let a popular locker room running back who only took 1,400 yards of offense with him. Three, replace said running back with an unpopular locker room guy who was outperformed by Lawrence Maroney in 2009.
Was he really?
Excuse me if I'm not exactly shaking yet. I don't think the Jets finished better than third place in the division this year. Without 2009's running game, Sanchez is dead meat.
All right. What?
As much as I think the LT signing was a bad one for the Jets, you can't argue that. That's a very foolish argument.
About Cromartie?
Well, no. Well, yes, but I'm talking about the running game. They're going not from Thomas Jones to LaDainian Tomlinson. They're going from Thomas Jones to Sean Green.
Right.
Okay. They
and
think
one
Sean
could
Green
argue
is,
they're going from Sean Green to Sean Green because right. last January Sean Green was Sean Green.
Exactly.
The leader.
They think Sean Green is better than Thomas Jones. I would agree. I think he offers the same amount of same ability to lug it between the tackles and pick up difficult yards with a big play ability that Thomas Jones didn't have. Plus, Thomas Jones was certainly on the back burner, as Andy alluded to, during the playoffs last year.
And how many times have we seen these teams where we go, oh, they should have let go of them a year earlier?
Well, LT,
they did it a year, maybe a year early, but they
LT
did it.
LT has not, as much as we think he's a baby, we all think LT is a baby, we think he's a powder, a whiner, and whatnot. In San Diego, he's revered. So this whole bad locker room presence thing, I don't think that's accurate. He got cut purely for money. He was no longer producing to the money that he was making. So I don't think that he's going to come in. Now, I think there's a possibility he expects to be more than he's going to be, and that could be a problem. But I think that would have been a problem with Thomas Jones, too, because Thomas Jones was going to be a backup.
Right.
And how he handled that was remained to be seen. Antonio Cromartie, by the way, that's a great pickup for them. They gave up very little to get him.
Number two corner.
We want to get Brandon Marshall, and suddenly we care how many illegitimate children Antonio Cromartie has.
Yeah.
Who cares? You know, I think he's maybe he's a scumbag, and you know, whatever. I don't want to hang out with him, but he's going to be a player that's going to allow them to have two cornerbacks. That it's going to allow them to play that crazy blitzing style that Rex Ryan wants to play because they can cover.
Right. No, it's.
The Jets are a good team.
That defense is formidable.
This is all about Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to run the ball. They're going to be able to play defense. If Mark Sanchez is a better quarterback than he was in 2009,
they're a better team.
That's a better football team than the one that finished the season.
Yep. And aren't they also supposedly rumored in the Brandon Marshall thing?
I heard they're not. That there's no way he's going there.
Why?
I don't know. But that's what I heard.
I wouldn't rule that out.
You know
out.
Who said that? I think it was Peter King.
I thought somebody threw it out there.
Yeah. Peter King said, no way.
How dumb is Peter
Which
King?
Which means he'll be a Jet tomorrow.
I generally try to go against Peter King.
John says, okay, so we cleaned out our tight ends, and we need to get some fresh meat for both blocking and receiving. I would hate to see us waste any of our second-round picks on tight ends. There is a player called Michael Palmer out of Clemson. I don't know if he's big enough, fast enough, or NFL worthy. However, I remember him coming through in first downs time and time again. Maybe he just benefited from Ford and Spiller running routes. What do you think the chances are of filling the void at tight end from draft choices coming after the fifth round, or are we doomed to spend a second round pick on a tight end?
He's big enough. He's a little slow. I'm going to my Pro Football Weekly draft guide that we got at the Combine. 4.95 was their estimate for his 40, but 6'5", 237, certainly big enough. 73 catches over his 4 years. Starter since, looks like the end of his freshman year, so 3.5-year starter. Reliable hands as a catcher. It's been a while since we had that around here. Snares the fastball with ease. I'm intrigued. He's their 14th rated tight end, emerges a senior. Security blanket, third down go-to guy. Meh. Maybe a later round option.
Later round.
One spot ahead in their rankings of Colin
Peek. After the fifth round, the guy was.
Alabama.
So
I'm done. Did you want me to read
Listen,
one?
Listen, you can always, there's always going to be players, there's always going to be players that hit late in the draft like that, but if you want to go
can't
into a draft and you want to rely on I want to get my starting tight end in the sixth round.
Yeah, no, forget it.
Your chances of doing that are less than 10%.
And for this team, I'd say lower than that.
Phil in Nova Scotia, if the only reason people want to get rid of Adalys Thomas is because of his attitude, I think they need to take a closer look at where the real problem lies. The attitude problem belongs to Belichick, along with his horrid interpersonal skills with players that dare stand up to his holiness.
So we're going to get
rid
of him?
With the absence of Bill's usual kiss-ass errand boys in the locker room, the team dynamic changed in a way that Belichick was ill-prepared for, so he fell back to his old Cleveland ways of bullying and intimidation.
I never said that.
What happened?
I never did either.
Is this Paul in Foxborough?
And really, what was so wrong with what Adalys said? That he wanted his boss to treat him like a man? I like seeing Adalys pissed off. It showed that he cared, and he still had some self-respect, unlike some others on the team, a.k.a. Kool-Aid. I think Adalys can take criticism of his play, but not an attack on his manhood. I think Adalys.
Why do you keep saying the word man like that?
I don't know. I think Adalys has a lot of talent that has remained untapped here in New England because Bill has not put him in a position to be successful. I think baby Belichick probably spent a lot of time trying to pound square pegs into round holes. Bill Belichick is the head coach.
Oh, literally, baby Belichick.
It is up to him to put all his players, his team, in a position to win. And last year, he did not. Regardless, I think Bill has learned from last year's problems. We'll probably start fresh with Adalys and the rest of the players that will be part of the 2010 roster.
Who wrote that?
Phil from Nova Scotia.
But, really? Phil, the thing is, it wasn't just his attitude that was the problem. Obviously, Bill felt like he was putting Adalys where he felt he was best for this defense. And he wasn't producing in those roles.
Right.
Except with, you know, in spurts he would do well. But that wasn't enough to warrant the money that they threw at him when he came here a couple of years ago. So it's not just the fact that he had an attitude and he stood up to Bill. It was the fact that he wasn't producing on the field consistently.
Right. I'm not really into solving the world's
problems. It does seem, though, we always say that Bill's strength is putting players in position to maximize their skills.
And he couldn't find, he put him everywhere. He put him everywhere on the defense, basically.
I don't think he's a player you can argue Bill has done that with. Because the guy's had success elsewhere and hasn't had it here. So whether he just doesn't fit, whatever, he hasn't maximized the potential of Adalys Thomas.
There's a story about Adalys Thomas that we're probably never going to know. Because something right. went wrong there.
There's
that
more
not,
to it than
well, maybe
we
not
we're
never,
not
but as soon as he goes to another team.
No, but my point is, Adalys might talk about it, but I still don't think we're going to know because all we're going to know is Adalys'
side
version
yeah,
of it is.
That's true.
And Bill doesn't really get into that.
Right.
Andrew, in the Ukraine, I hate to say this, but I am close to cutting ties with
PFW in
Paul Perillo,
Tom Brady.
Oh,
wow, this is really
how
negative.
How are these back-to-back
the last two emails?
What?
Brady and Belichick, gone.
Throughout his career, there have been occasional moments that made me question him.
Occasional moments of greatness.
Posing in a turtleneck, out in public in a man's scarf, beefcake poses with goats, bidding on overpriced obscure art, no offense, Eric, doing his best
he
Bill Laimbeer impression in a Ravens game, but now.
Nothing's more obscure than your art.
Earth Awareness Day? Seriously? Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I like my sports icons to be real men. I don't know.
Here's with the voice again.
I don't know what is more unnerving, the thought that Brady actually might think he made a difference turning off his lights for an hour, or the possibility he doesn't give a rip about the environment and just went along with some cause that Giselle is into. If I see him in a Snuggie, I'm becoming a Jets fan until he retires.
Wow.
Just for kicks, what would be the minimum you would want in a trade for draft picks? I know it would never happen, but I'm just curious.
Maybe you
Paul
should
wants
shut
Matthew
up.
Stafford straight up.
Just draft. Do you want to try to seriously answer
trade,
the guy's question?
Trade
just
Brady.
Just draft picks. It's got to be at least 2 1s.
Would you take
at
the,
this year? Yeah.
Would
just
you take
point
the
at
Rams
least two.
Draft. They're going to give you every pick that they have this year.
Pull a New Orleans Saints.
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah, I would do
I
that.
I would do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because then you could use those, trade up,
that's,
get a few
that's
more.
That's worth more than 2 1s to me.
Absolutely.
A whole draft.
Plus, absolutely.
Picking first in every
first
round.
First and the second. Yeah.
Yep.
Plus, I get Sam Bradford.
I would.
I'm swayed a little bit by that.
Would you then try to use some of those picks to trade for Rashard Mendenhall?
I don't think the Steelers
could
would
see?
Do it.
If then you did that, could you get James Sanders thrown in just, you know?
Mendenhall is
But then
ridiculous.
He could have Bradford, Mendenhall, and Sanders on the same team.
No, but does Bradford play into your thinking at all?
Yeah.
Sure,
no,
yeah.
You have to get a franchise. I mean,
you have to replace the franchise quarterback with a franchise quarterback.
Because it plays into mine. Because you know how I think I have a good chance I'm getting, maybe not Tom Brady, but I'm getting Phillip Rivers or Drew. I'm getting a top tier
quarterback. You're losing Brady. So you have to, I mean, that's why I said, listen, you think a lot more of
Bradford
than anybody else.
Than he does.
I know you
just made fun of me again for it, but that's why I would contemplate that Detroit trade with Stafford and Calvin Johnson, because maybe he doesn't turn out to be the guy, but I have a young franchise quarterback to replace Brady. Maybe he doesn't work. Maybe Bradford doesn't work. I mean, there's no guarantees, but you have to get a quarterback. You have to have a quarterback in mind. You can't say, oh, I'll fill the gap with Brian Hoyer until something better comes along. You can't
sign Jake Delhomme for 2 years.
No,
like
that's not suitable.
Better be a small gap.
Maybe if I go out and get Donovan McNabb. Now, I don't like him, but
I'd rather have Brian Hoyer.
A guy who's available is what I'm talking about.
Donovan McNabb stinks. Freddie,
how about Kevin Cobb?
I'd rather have him than McNabb. I think McNabb stinks. Overrated. Thaddeus Gibson.
Thaddeus.
Yes.
Defensive end, outside linebacker, Ohio State University.
I thought he was It's a Wonderful Life.
I'm intrigued by him because the Steelers are supposedly in love with him.
Oh.
Kevin Colbert and my guy looking for him to be a pass rush
specialist. Chief on Get Smart. And real name, Thaddeus.
So I'm intrigued by him. Okay. Not a lot of production
Sorry
at Ohio
that,
State. And
do we get the DVDs yet?
Yeah, we're watching them.
Oh, what about me? Share the love here?
What about you?
You don't watch them.
I got a lot of meetings. Too busy.
When we're done.
The offseason is my busy time.
I just finished 09. Right. I watch him.
You watched 09's film?
Yeah.
I watched Toby Gerhardt yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What?
Can we evaluate the schedule yet?
And?
You should tell him to detach his cleats from cement blocks before he plays.
Oh.
Could his feet be any slower?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
He stinks.
He does not.
He stinks. Anyone who thinks he's going to be a 1,000-yard runner in the National Football League is sadly mistaken.
Really?
Yeah.
With the 22nd pick in the 2010 NFL draft.
I think you're just coming out a little strong on the other end. I think.
What?
I don't know what that means, but I think he's going to have a good career.
What did you just say?
1,000 yards.
What kind of
NFL
a man are you?
Exactly. I know it's not that big a deal. I don't think he'll get to that big a deal.
Real
just like
funny.
Lawrence Maroney's never gotten to that big a deal. I think there are some really interesting mid and late round picks in this draft from what I'm watching, from what I've seen, the combine. I think there could be some steals. Actually, I will go on record as saying there will be a great running back taken in the third round or beyond
Day
in this draft.
Day 3?
Okay.
I think that's day two if it's in the third, and day three if it's in the fourth.
If by great, you mean someday he makes the Hall of Fame?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Makes a Pro Bowl.
Or two. I mean, like, multi-year 1,200-yard rusher, great.
Okay.
I mean, it's a short window for backs.
Sure it is.
You can be great for a short period as a running back. I think there will be one. I'm very disappointed our video footage does not include James Starks out of Buffalo. Really hurting me.
Sleeper guy.
Well, he's not a sleeper anymore. People heard I thought he was a sleeper, and he
woke up
the charts. They see the up arrow next to him, and they're agreeing.
Is that a direct up arrow, or is that a northeast arrow?
How bad Brady really unraveled down the stretch of this game.
Well, you know, when crunch time hits.
I think that email is right.
Well, it could be the highlights that start dripping in his eyes.
At least he had a haircut.
This is the infamous Ken Walter 18-yard punt, by the way, that sets
this one here?
Sets the Colts up on the goal
line. Is this the one that kept him from being on the all-decade team?
This is the one that had Steve Belichick saying, they got to do something about the punting situation before Bill put the clamps
down.
They
really just choked, huh?
They do win, you know.
Let's see. Vinesi.
Vinesi, Vinesi, Vinesi.
I'm going with Vinesi.
Vinesi sounds
last
good.
Show, we were talking a little bit about that Magic Jack.
And that's not so Magic Jack.
He says, Fred, don't pimp Magic Jack. Do you know when you buy one, you agree to let them listen to all of your phone calls and then push ads to your PC in the form of malware based on what you're talking about? There is no privacy. Wow,
shouldn't
that's
you have known this as the executive director of New
I
media?
Didn't know that. Try NetTalk. It costs
Try a phone.
it costs $100, but it's a one-time fee, and you never pay again. And you don't need a computer to be on in order to receive calls, unlike Magic Jack. Also, they don't monitor your phone calls.
But does it crackle and break up and delay like the Magic Jack?
I don't know.
Just get a phone.
I mean, yeah. Vonage basically works the same way. It's all voice over IP. You know.
He really is whacked today.
Really? Seriously.
Salt writes in, there are a couple guys I want the Patriots to kick the tires on in free agency. Outside linebacker Greg Ellis, inside linebacker Andre Davis, and wide receiver Javon Walker.
You want Andre Davis?
I'm intrigued.
He's 110, isn't he?
No, come on now. He can't be over.
Cut like three times?
30.
I know Ellis is old, but he
so we're just
going to
go with nobody?
In 3-4 systems.
4-3?
And yeah, Greg Ellis, why is he not? Why is there no interest?
Greg Ellis should be.
There was interest last year. He had like 7 sacks with the Raiders.
Mm-hmm. He should be on the map.
But I haven't heard his name since the day I saw Greg Ellis.
Everybody's being a little too conservative with this whole free agency period so far.
Why is that?
Everybody, I mean, like
collusion.
Yeah.
You agree?
No.
What about Javon Walker?
No, thank you.
Why?
Head case.
I'd kick the
problems.
Tires. I'd kick
injuries.
The tires there.
The tire would pop.
Yeah.
I'd kick the tires on him. I don't know how the knee is. Where's Jerry Porter nowadays?
Probably retired.
I'd kick the tires on him, too, if he was
We're just going to collect guys that are out of football. David Patton, Jerry Porter.
Guys that have some talent.
Jerry Rice.
Why don't we collect guys that have some talent that are in, like, their late 20s?
But I think there's a listen, they need to do more than that. I'm not saying that would solve the problem. But a guy like Javon Walker is a guy I would be interested in because you have a chance to give nothing and maybe get a lot.
Sure.
And you know, because there's no question about the guy's talent. It's about his health and his head.
And his head.
And his head.
Yeah, I said that. His health and his head. So you might hit.
Those are big, those are big questions.
But you might hit, and if it doesn't hit, you cut him before the season even starts. Mm. I'm not suggesting
that's
the only
move that you
make. You
know why I don't want to do that? Because I feel like that's what they're going to do. They're going to get bring in three or four of those guys.
So now you're admitting that that's whatever they do, you're going to be mad about.
No.
You know why I don't want to do that? Because I know that's what they're going to do.
No. If they go get a guy. But if they sign David Patton, if they sign
no, they need to go
Javon
out,
Walker,
they need
if they
to
sign
spend an early draft pick, and they probably need to add a more established
a
veteran free agent.
Not
in
guy.
Addition to this, I'm saying. I'm not saying Javon Walker's the only move you make.
Well, if you do those two things, then I don't care.
I want to draft. They have to draft a guy in the first two rounds, in my opinion, at wide receiver. They have to.
Mm-hmm. I would assume.
Have to.
Yep.
I don't want to do that in lieu of, you know, spending a high draft pick on a wide receiver.
Why do you keep looking at
proceed?
George writes in, I know the Pats have been focused on re-signing interior players, which is a good idea since internal players always already know the system and the way the organization works, but why not try and pull some talent from the restricted free agent group? Wide receiver, we've got
that.
Vincent Jackson and Steve Breaston.
Right.
He likes the two of those. Running back, he'd like Leon Washington.
But nobody around the NFL has been making those kind of moves yet.
Linebacker, he'd like Kirk Morrison.
Yeah, that name's been coming up a lot.
Tight end, he'd like Owen Daniels or Greg Olsen.
I'd like Greg Olsen. That's a trade.
Yeah, he's not a free agent.
Right.
Really, my focus would be on Malcolm Floyd. I think I could sneak in and take him. They're going to be focused on keeping Vincent Jackson.
Malcolm Floyd and Vincent Jackson, to me, and I understand your point, Steve Breaston, that's another slot guy to me. I don't necessarily want that. I want
an outside
guy.
And that's what Malcolm Floyd is.
I think Malcolm
He's run
Floyd
down the field.
Yep.
Is a big, tall, speed guy who can, I think, stretch the field on the other side of Moss. And it wouldn't cost you as much
Plus
as Vincent
Plus, he fulfills
Jackson.
The Bill rule of when he signs restricted free agents, they're guys that have done well
Kill
against
them.
Him.
Yeah. And he spells his name funny. Malcolm with no L at the end there.
M-A-L-C-O-M.
Let's see. Jared
Malcolm,
writes
hey, it's
in.
Mal.com.
I'm not in love with
Anthony
Kirk Morrison.
Anthony writes in about Jared. He says, will the Patriots pick Jared Odrick of Penn State come draft day? And do you think he would be a good fit?
Yes.
Yeah.
But would it just signify what a lot of people think already?
Should've
that
kept
Belichick
Seymour?
Made a mistake trading Richard Seymour to Oakland?
Well, but if you make a mistake and you acknowledge it and fix it, then...
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily a mistake. We kind of have to let that play out.
Mm-hmm.
If you end up with a top five pick next year and you have Odrick, who's younger, cheaper, who can play the position, and now you add whatever you want to add in that top five pick,
maybe
a game changer.
So you sacrificed a year of,
right.
you know,
but
lesser pass
he
rush.
He popped up today on somebody's mock as the Patriots selection at 22.
Fred,
you and I talked
that.
About him because you want somebody, you want one of those ends,
one of those five techniques.
And he, at the combine, I was very impressed with his sales. I think his build, he seems like a legit option if you wanted to go high. I don't know how I feel about that hole that's been vacated. I don't know where I put that priority.
Yeah. Yemi from Texas. In my opinion, the best conversion defensive end to outside linebacker player taken in the last 3 years is Anthony Spencer of the Cowboys. I think we passed on him in favor of Merriweather. It took him 2 years to develop into a solid starter. He's listed at 6'3", 255. Derek Morgan, Everson Griffin, and Jerry Hughes are the two players who fit that mode in this draft. I hope we pick one of them. I don't want Brandon Graham. He's too small. There is a reason why the prototype for outside linebacker at 6'4", 250 exists on our team. We shouldn't deviate from it too much. I'm not sure guys like Lamar Woodley and James Harrison would thrive on the Patriots
because we play a straight up 3-4 without the twist and stunts which help them succeed on the Steelers.
I agree.
Cowboys and Chargers play a somewhat similar 3-4 like we do, and Ware, Spencer, Merriman, Phillips, and Hughes are all above 6'2", 250. I say we stick to the 6'4 prototype.
Well, the Anthony Spencer thing, it put me across from DeMarcus Ware, and I think I'd be successful.
Plus, it didn't really take him a couple of years. He was behind Greg Ellis.
Right.
When he got there.
And that's why they
and
traded
he was still
Ellis.
Playing, and they got rid and of him. Right. Forced their hand to get rid of Ellis because he was better. So it wasn't like he did nothing for 2 years and then
but he's also
his way in. And I don't think there's that much of a similarity between Dallas's and San Diego's. I look at San Diego as more like Pittsburgh with an attacking, aggressive 3-4 with some stunting.
Mm-hmm.
And Dallas, I think, is very – Dallas is the Patriots.
Right.
That's
Pittsburgh's is certainly the most aggressive, the most movement-oriented 3-4. And I agree that I'm not sure Woodley or Harrison would be great here. I don't know. But I'm also not just sold on sticking to the mold. I want an athlete who can make plays. I don't care what shape he comes in, what size he comes in.
Especially since we're hearing more and more from, executives or, football insiders who are saying you can't really stick to that. There aren't that many guys like that.
Well, that's the bottom line. There aren't
that
many guys like that. So I can wait the next 11 years, and eventually a 6'4", 4'6", 260 guy will pop up, and I'll have lost 50 games because
I'll
put the guy in who's not ideal but can actually play a little.
And, actually make some plays.
The emailer's point, and I think we all agree on it, is the systems are different, and I'm not sure Lamar Woodley and James Harrison would be the same kinds of guys playing the Patriots style.
But give it a shot.
My argument would be, first of all, I would like to take my chances with James Harrison in any system. But I would.
Well, unless the system involves a lot of drug testing.
But I would also like to see the Patriots maybe. I'm not saying scrap your principles. I'm just saying maybe make some adjustments to your system a little bit to fit more talent in it. So you can not have to close the door on. So, if Brandon Graham is a guy they really think is talented enough, but you know what? He's 2 inches too short. Well, I'd like to see an alteration to their system to find a way to use this guy's talent.
Right. Plus, what's Telly Bantakane?
And I don't know the answer.
Telly Bantakane is not the ideal.
No.
And he had 10 sacks for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to see a more talented guy.
He's not a 6'4", 4'6 guy.
Very, so my point is, I'll take the more talent. He was a seventh-round pick or sixth?
Seventh-round
pick. I'll take the more talented guy because even Telly Bantakane, regardless of what you think of him, he had 10 sacks last year. He did something. He was around the quarterback. He was better than Derek Burgess. So give me some more of those guys that can produce and make plays. And by all accounts, Derek Morgan has no chance to be an outside linebacker. Supposedly at his pro day, he was terrible trying to do some linebacker drills. He is a go-get-em guy.
Especially if it's the Patriots, because there's guys that would use him as an outside linebacker, but not the Patriots, because they ask you to do more than just rush the pass.
Cross him off the list. Cross Everson Griffin off the list, because
I love Derek Morgan. I don't care.
He's an underachiever. He's a guy that thinks he's better than he is, right, Eric?
Oh, Everson Griffin?
You weren't listening.
No, I wasn't. I was looking at the fourth down.
Getting ready to watch
the guy never
down
talks on the show and doesn't listen either.
Fourth down.
Everson Griffin promised you a 4-5.
Eric's still on the show.
Promised you a 4-5. What did he run? 4-6-5?
Something like that.
4-7?
Lost his job to Clay Matthews. Thinks he's great. Isn't.
And now I missed the fourth down play.
You know what happens. It's a rerun.
I know.
We stop him.
McGinnis made the tackle.
Did he?
Oh, he already faked the injury?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the fourth down play. Right.
Overrated play by McGinnis. Ted Washington is
a big
like part
the,
of that
play before that where Manning throws a ball up that had no chance of being caught, and Tyrone Poole is like, I stopped it.
Right.
It's because God told him it was coming.
Big shock. Ted Johnson's in the game. I thought he didn't play in this decade.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW
Another
in Progress.
Hour?
We'll be back Another Thursday hour? Because Another it's hour? Only Tuesday. We'll talk to you then.
PFW in Progress. Not your run-of-the-mill talk show.
Look, I'm not sure this place is working. The drinkers are smoking, the smokers are drinking, and the gamblers are having sex with everything that moves.
Patriots.com Radio.